but you seem to instantly just fit in a leadership role out there. Do you see yourself like that anytime you're out on the field?
Well, what I'm mainly trying to do whenever I step on the field is just do whatever I can to help my team win, whether I play third, whether I play short, second, outfield even. Just whatever the coaches put me, that's where I'll play, and I'll do whatever I can to help.
When it comes to summer ball, this is a chance that I think your average baseball fan now knows, but you know, this is a chance where you guys really – you work pretty hard. I mean, this is a growth opportunity for you after your freshman year to really say, I'm preparing myself for my third and fourth year of college and hopefully something after.
Oh, yeah. Well, this year – you know, the big goal of all kids, especially playing college ball, is to play professionally, of course. So that's mainly my goal. And out here right now, I just want to have fun mainly and just, like, get back into the groove of things, because we took a little – my freshman year, my team didn't, you know, play as well as we should have. But I think we're all working hard, and I think next year we're going to come back and bounce back.
Let's talk about that team, because you have you came down with Desmond Parisotto, right?
Yeah.
And you met up with a kid, I don't even know if you'd ever met him before, one of the big pitching signees, Peter Kronowski, who's just a teenager, and you met up with him. He was already here.
Oh, yeah, he's a good kid, man. He's not nervous at all. He's out there, and he's already pitching like a Division I pitcher, in my opinion, and I think he's going to fit very nicely with Seattle University.
How was that drive down here for you and Desmond?
Oh, I didn't drive.
No.
I didn't want to drive. I had to fly down here. I didn't want to drive for 9.5 hours. That didn't sound too appealing to me.
See, that's why you were able just to step right in. I almost feel obligated to ask, because I put myself in your shoes. You picking Rick Bassetti's brain, Bill Plummer's brain. I mean, they lay it out there anyway. Whether you pick it or not, that has to be a real plus being here. Because Plum, you know, he finished his playing career. He was a manager in Seattle, your hometown.
Oh, I know. He coached the Mariners for a while, managed the Mariners. And it's just fun, like, especially like guys who played professionally or worked with professional players. It's always fun to pick their brain and ask questions, because, like, they have endless stories about, like, my favorite players, other people's favorite players. It's always cool, because, like, the main thing I always ask him very immature questions, like, who's the best hitter you ever coached and all that, because it's like you always feel like a kid again whenever you talk about that, because that's always been my dream since Little League, is to play professionally, and I'm with two guys who already made it there. So
now, how about family? Any of them been able to come down? Hopefully they're listening on the radio, but you know, you're used to being away from them now a little bit, but you didn't really go away from them during college.
Oh, not really. I mean, like, it's still always a transition, just moving out of the house and, like, not relying on the mom or the dad to help you, you know, do your laundry, make food for you. You know, it's that's the big transition. But I've had my mom come down. She saw a couple games. My uncle even came down to Eureka to see a few games. And my dad and everyone else always checks up on me every day, basically.
Well, you're hearing Coach Biz is hollering out at you, and camaraderie, that's what baseball is all about. I know you. Last question, really, just how are you enjoying being a Colt 45? Because you're not from Reading. My guess is you probably hadn't spent any time here. You know, how quickly did you fit in, and what's this team's like? Team's personality like?
Well, immediately I felt welcomed by everybody on the team. I didn't feel like I was adjusting, really. I just hopped in, and I felt immediately part of the team. And the big adjustment here was the heat. Oh, goodness. Seattle, like, gets up to, like, maybe 80, 85, and that's hot. But, like, when I got here the first day, I'm pretty sure it was, like, 102, and I was like, oh, my goodness. That was the big adjustment. But that's, you know, I got used to that pretty quickly.
Well, now you know, once game time starts, it's just baseball from there. Julian Kodama, thank you so much for joining me. And we really enjoyed watching you play. Looking forward to some more baseball this summer. We'll be back with the starting lineups and more in just a moment. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR.
The Cascade Theater presents 4 free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities, and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. 4 films, 4 Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First 5 Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
The McConnell Foundation is pleased to sponsor this year's Colt 45 season. We support hometown baseball in South City Park, part of the heart of Reading. families, local businesses, and nonprofits make this community event successful. The McConnell Foundation believes the best way to build community is to support it together. Baseball is for everyone, from little leaguers to senior games. Thank you for rooting for our home team. Go Colt 45s!
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Tiger Field. I'm Brent Weber. They're introducing the lineups, the Colt 45s and the Santa Rosa A's. Colt 45s defensively getting set to take the field behind Jacob Marquez, who is 2-3 on the season. He'll be going up against Santa Barbara Community College signee Nate Cox for the Santa Rosa Athletics. We're just getting ready for tonight's national anthem, so let's get ready to turn it over to them. Rick Bassetti on the public address tonight. So let's listen in.
Eric Baskin, field manager. Justin Zabisma, field coach. And our other coach is Bill Clark, 53 years, Jay Bill. Our other coach is Sadko Cannon. So now our national anthem will be sung by none other than Mr. Scott Lewis.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallant streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled
rendition of our national anthem.
Play ball.
And Rick Bassetti hollering out play ball. Let's take a look at the lineups for tonight's game for the visiting Santa Rosa A's, managed tonight again by Justin Herguth. Leading off, their catcher Max Herndon, batting second out in left field, Daniel Harrington. The first baseman Garrett James hits third. Jason Moran, a big home run last night, he's the DH batting cleanup. Jared Sundstrom, their third baseman, hits fifth. Ryan Miller in center field, Alex Curley the shortstop tonight, and Marcelo Riley out in right field. Wyatt Vogt, the second baseman, bats ninth. Nate Cox on the hill for the Santa Rosa A's. Tyler Thompson, the center fielder, will lead it off for your Reading Colt 45s. Julian Kadama at shortstop bats second. Brendan Roop over at third. Chris Brew bats cleanup. He's the DH tonight. Tanner Tweed back at first base. He'll hit fifth. Jacob Machuca in left field. Connor McCoy, the second baseman, hits seventh. Kyle Schrodel behind the plate tonight bats eighth. And Andy Vienna will hit ninth, and he'll be in right field. Jacob Marquez on the hill with a 2-3 record, a 7.25 earned run average. The right-hander from Santa Rosa Junior College will be actually opposing several guys who are part of his team, teammates of his, in junior college, so that will be hopefully good news for Jacob. He might know those guys a little bit. In 22 and a third innings, he's given up 31 hits, 23 strikeouts in those innings, and it'd be good to see if he can get back on track as every starter did. A little bit of a rough start in on the coast against the Humboldt B-52s. He went just 3 1/3, 8 hits, 5 earned runs, 3 walks, and a strikeout in his last time out starting. Defensively behind him over at first base, Tweet. At second is McCoy. Over at shortstop is Kadama. At third base is Brendan Roop. In the outfield, left to right, Jacob Machuca in left. Tyler Thompson in center, Andy Bayena out in right field. Behind the plate tonight, Kyle Schrodel, and on the mound, Jacob Marquez in his first pitch to their leadoff hitter, Max Herndon, is a called strike.
The first pitch was at 7:15.
Herndon had one hit last night, played shortstop for him last night. He's catching tonight, takes a big cut at the second one, 0-2. The Athletics wearing the same uniforms, the green tops with primarily white secondary color, but some yellow edging on their numerals and lettering. Swung on, bounce towards short. Big high hop off of the lip of the grass, and it gets past Kodama over his head. That's got to be a hit. I mean, Julian was playing it perfectly, and it just took a huge hop over his head. No chance he's going to be able to get that one. He's out there with a big grin on his face because what are you going to do? He throws his hands up. Oh, what are you going to do? He's tall enough, just wasn't tall enough in that case. So now you have to settle down as Daniel Harrington comes to the plate. Herndon catching tonight, you expect if his speed is probably best in his first at-bat. Harrington had three hits last night. He was 3-for-4. Right-handed batter stands in, takes the first pitch over for a strike. So Jacob doing his job, getting right out in front of hitters. Right-handed batter Harrington. Marquez has a good move for right-hander. And I have a feeling Herndon knows that. He attends Santa Rosa along with Marquez. That one's over for a strike. 0-2. So there's a little extra, you know, a little extra adrenaline, I'm sure, tonight for Jacob. Pitching against one of the teams. Of course, he started the season. He started the season in Santa Rosa playing pitching with the Rosebuds. He needed to get some starts, and they had basically too many starting pitchers. Colt 45s could use a starter, so here's Jacob. Runner going, swung on, takes the pitch, and they get the runner basically standing in the second. A perfect throw by Schrodel down there at second base. McCoy with the tag. Caught stealing. Nicely done. So now one out, and the base is empty. So Marquez back going from the stretch. Wow, just like that. Nice little Saturday night crowd wandering in. Marquez goes with the changeup there, swung on, missed. Daniel Harrington goes down swinging. Strikeout number one.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Well, we're getting a loud Rick Bassetti tonight on the PA. Garrett James steps up, left-handed hitter. James had a hit and three runs batted in last night. Takes the first pitch for a ball. Next one, swung on, fouled back. Marquez getting right out in front of hitters, and that's the key every time through the lineup. Here comes the next one, 1-1. Oh, nice changeup. That's strike two. 1-2. Now here we go. Nice leg kick. Good delivery. High chopper right side. Fielded there by McCoy. Throws it on the tweet. Four out number three. So one hit, but the runner caught stealing second base and a perfect throw by Kyle Schrodel. So nobody's left on base. We go to the bottom of the first. Colt 45's coming to bat. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167, 241-1167.
Powerhouse Solar announces their new design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. Now with Powerhouse Solar's new design showroom, you can view your property and see your solar design on the spot so you can see what best works for you. Maybe it's a trellis mounted system, pole mounted systems, or roof mount. See all the options in Powerhouse Solar's design showroom at 4616 Caterpillar Road. For information, go to powerhousesolar.com or call 275-5600. Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower Elite dealer.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back. Colt 45's coming to bat for the first time here in the bottom of the first inning. No score. Our umpires for tonight's game, Non Rodriguez behind home plate, Johnny Smith out on the bases. Tiger Field, the dimensions, 320 down the left field line, 310 down the right field line. It's 406 to center field, 358 in the left center power alley, and 370 in the right center field power alley. We mentioned the A's uniforms, the dark green tops and the gray bottoms. Colt 45s are wearing their vests today, the gold vests with white and black trim, the white home pants with the dark stripe running down the side, and they're wearing the white home caps with the black bill tonight. Justin Seibesma is the third base coach with Brett Miller out of town on assignment tonight, this weekend, alternating first base coaches. Right now, Jeff Cross is over there. He's the tallest first base coach on the team at 66 inches tall, just edging out Eamon Velarde. So that brings up Tyler Thompson to start things off. Thompson didn't start last night. He got a game off. He did come in and pinch hit later on. Didn't figure in the big comeback win for the Colt 45s, but he's figured in pretty much everything since joining the club, hitting .318, three homers, 26 runs batted in, a .487 on-base percentage, and a .993 OPS. That's on-base plus slugging. So he has not just been any kind of singles hitter or a guy getting on base. He's been driving in runs as well. As we mentioned, he's now overtaken Brendan Roop for RBI with 26 on the season, second on the club behind Chris Bruce. Swung on, first pitch, hit towards center field, back going to center fielder Miller, and he'll make the catch for out number one. It was pretty deep, but he had a beat on it all the way. That'll bring up Julian Kadama. Defensively, behind pitcher Nate Cox, it's Garrett James at first, Wyatt Vogt at second, Alex Curley at shortstop. Both of those young men are right out of high school. Over at third base, Jared Sundstrom. The outfielders, Daniel Harrington in left, Miller in center, and Marcelo Riley in right. Max Herndon catching tonight, and Cox on the mound. Kadama, first pitch he sees. He lines into right field. It's a two-hopper to the base of the wall. He's going to take a big turn. The throw to the relay man. He'll stand at second with a one-out double. So Julian Kadama has now hit safely in all 10 games he's played for the Colt 45s. I didn't want to jinx him. I asked him before the game, do you realize you have a 9-game hitting streak and you played in 9 games? And he said, well, I don't know. He said, I don't keep up with that stuff. And I believe him. He has now hit safely in every game he has played for the Colt 45s. He missed one game because he was sick right after he made the trip down. Now Brendan Roop comes to the plate with a man in scoring position. Off speed is the first pitch to him. It misses a little way, 1-0. So I didn't even get to tell you that Kadama had taken over the team average lead, hitting .381 coming in. So that's gone up a tick. Roop at .333 with two homers, 24 runs batted in. They're throwing him another changeup. So we don't know much about Cox other than he pitched in high school at Cardinal Newman High School. He's planning on starting his collegiate career in the fall and the spring at Santa Barbara Community College. Change up there in front of the catcher, Kadama running over to third, and he's out. He didn't slide. He didn't realize the catcher picked it up in a hurry, and Kadama came in standing. You're kind of on your own in those plays, so he is out 2-5. We saw a pretty good throwing arm from Herndon there. So Kadama caught stealing, and I'm sure Julian knows why. He didn't slide, swung and fouled back. He just assumed it wasn't going to be a close play. So Roop now batting with the bases empty, a .973 slugging percentage, second only among regulars on the team to
Thompson. Two homers, a team leading seven doubles, two triples. He hit one last night that if the wind had been slightly blowing out like it is tonight, it would have been touch them all. But it was a, kind of a dead ball era night last night. Curveball hits him. He didn't even have to move. He didn't really move. It was an off-speed pitch, so Roop down to first on a hit-by-pitch. And that's the seventh time he's been hit with a pitch this year, the 51st Colt 45's batter to be hit this summer in 27 games. Chris Brew now comes to the plate, right-handed batter out of Simpson University. Big Chris leading the club in runs batting in the summer and home runs. Four homers, 33 RBI. This is neither. He grounds it slowly to short, fielded there by Curley, and he throws him out at first for an easy out number three. No runs a hit, no errors, one man left on base. We go to the top of the second, no score, Colt 45s, and the Santa Rosa A's. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to Tiger Field. A light breeze blowing, as we mentioned, to the west, and light clouds, and that's made it a much calmer night heat-wise. So it's much more comfortable out here wherever you are. Still plenty of time to come out and enjoy some baseball at Tiger Field. Save two teams will go at it again tomorrow night. Jacob Marquez now facing Jason Moran to start things off. Moran had the long, monstrous home run off of Eamon Velarde last night in the first. He finished the night 2-for-4 with a couple of runs batted in, right-handed batter. He caught in last night's game. He's DHing tonight, right-handed hitter, as I mentioned. And another one of those guys who's a teammate of the man on the hill for the Colt 45s, Jacob Marquez. Fastball blew that one right past him, right in the kitchen. Inside corner. He tried to tee up on it and didn't. 2-1 to count. Marquez working from the wind, wearing the black short sleeves with the vest. Big leg kick. Changeup was up and in. He just kind of tilted back away from it. Three balls and a strike now to count. Jacob, one of the starters that has not had a big problem with control. That one's called strike two. Moran isn't endearing himself to the umpire. He was half the way down to first base, and then he came back in the box and scraped a line with his foot. I don't know if that's something he normally does, but I'm not sure what the ump will think of that. Swung on 3-2, fouled back out of play. Schottel gave it a quick look. But as I mentioned, Jacob in 22 and a third innings, 13 walks, which would be a lot in the big picture, but for the Colt 45 starters, that has been a much bigger problem. 149 walks as a staff in 237 innings. His 5.2 walks per nine is really the lowest amongst the regular starters, other than Velarde. Velarde's is similar, 5.0. Jacob's had some tough luck. I mean, he's had some questionable defense behind him. Not tonight, but I'm saying he's had some bad breaks, and I think his lines really could be better based on the way he's approached his job pitching. He's taking his time now on the 3-2. Still doesn't have what he wants. Now he's finally ready to wind and deliver. That's a breaking ball, and it didn't miss by much outside. And ball four, Jason Moran draws the first walk of the game off of Marquez. So Jared Sundstrom now comes to the plate. Sundstrom, their third baseman, 1-for-3 last night. Sundstrom out of Point Arena High School. Right-handed hitter. Big kid. Runner not going. Swung on, foul tip and caught for strike one. As mentioned, it's a much more comfortable night tonight. It was much hotter last night. It was even hotter on the fourth. Breaking ball bounced in the dugout, the Colt 45's dugout. Sent Colby Milligan scrambling over there, and the bat boy did a nice job of chasing it down. A 2 pitch coming. Marquez at the belt. That's where he holds the ball in his glove, checks the runner over his shoulder, and delivers. 1-2 now the count. Tried to get him to chase something up. Quickly back on the hill. They do play Sundstrom to pull. He has wide open right side of the infield. Breaking ball outside corner. He's not getting that pitch so far from Rodriguez. He's put it right there. 2 balls, 2 strikes to count. And just as much, their hitters have not chased that pitch particularly. He has more than a couple of pitches in his repertoire. Runner not going, swung on, fouled back. But again, Jacob throwing strikes out of the gate. 16 of his first 24 pitches have been strikes. Little right-hander looks in. Now checks the runner at first. Batter's tired of waiting, so he steps out. Marquez trying to pace himself here. Now he's quickly ready to go. Just as the batter steps in, he delivers. That one snagged out of the dirt by Kyle Schrodel. Good job defensively there for Kyle. We've seen both catchers show off good arms so far. Decent lead at first for Moran with nobody out, 3-2 count. That's a good changeup right on the inside. Part of the plate called strike three. I think Sundstrom thought that's what he was getting, and he got fooled. Second strikeout of the game for Marquez. That brings up the right-handed hitting center fielder Ryan Miller, who had a terrific game last night in terms of making a great play on a ball that robbed Tanner Tweet of, a hit that might have actually kept the dramatics off the plate for the Colt 45s in the ninth, because it was in the, I believe, in the fourth or fifth inning. And it could, who knows what could have happened, but it probably would have brought in at least one run, more, perhaps two. But this guy ran it down. He didn't get any hits. He was 0 for the night, 0 for 4, but it was definitely felt. Fouled that one out of play. Quickly, Marquez back on top, 0-2. Great night for baseball. Colt 45s, of course, managed by Barrick Fasking. Change up inside. It's called a ball. 1-2 the count. And again, now the second baseman, McCoy, is coming out. He's probably just basically going to say something about coverage or who has the catcher, who has second base. Miller, a little guy. Another Santa Rosa player. Holds the bat on his back shoulder, now lifts it. Big curve swung on, missed, strike three. So Jacob's stuff is working right now. Alex Curley, the shortstop, mentioned to you their Keystone combination, a couple of kids right out of high school. They have 3 players, I believe, at least in their starting lineup, right out of high school. Preparing for their college careers. And here's Curley. little guy. I'm 5'7", maybe 5'8". Swung on, hits a one hopper to Roop at third. Roop's long throw gets him easily, and that's out number three. So no runs, no hits, a walk. Doesn't hurt anybody. He's left on base. We go to the bottom of the second. Still no score. Colt 45 is hosting Santa Rosa A's. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Haven Humane Society will be holding our annual Pup for Paws Golf Tournament on July 12th at the beautiful Riverview Golf and Country Club. This fabulous four-person scramble will tee off at 9 a.m. There will be an awards lunch, raffles, prizes, and so much more. Sign up your four-man team today for only $400, or single players are only $100, with all proceeds going to help the animals at Haven Humane Society. We will see you on the green.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
No score here. Bottom of the second inning. Colt 45's in the Santa Rosa A's, getting you updated on the scoreboard. Some games out and about in professional baseball. Bill Plummer's grandson on the hill tonight for the Sacramento River Cats. Connor Menez, big left-hander out of Hollister and Masters College, is getting the AAA start for the Giants tonight. This will be his fifth start. Still doesn't have a record, one loss-wise at AAA this year, but the 2 ERA. So they are underway, and the score of that game right now, scoreless, just in the second inning. Tanner Tweet leading off here, bottom of the second, fouls off his first pitch, 0-1. So we'll keep you up to date on Sacramento at Reno. And we'll get you some Major League scores coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Tanner Tweet leading off. Takes the next pitch for a ball. Facing the right-hander. Santa Barbara City College. Community College, excuse me. Signee Nate Cox. 1-1 pitch. Change up inside. He kind of waved at it. He has a three-quarter arm delivery. That one looked almost like a sinker. It's Tweet, Jacob Machuca, and Connor McCoy due up here in the second. Big cut on a fastball. That one was away. Tanner goes down swinging. First strikeout of the game for Cox. So checking on some games out there. The Giants and Cardinals are tied at one. That's in the second inning. Dodgers and Padres just getting started. No score in the third. A's on top of the Mariners, 1-0. That one's now in the top of the second. Red Sox leading the Tigers 7-6 in the sixth inning. Here comes the pitch to Machuca. That's another changeup. That was inside, called for a strike. The Phillies trail the Mets 6-5. That one's in the seventh inning, middle of the seventh. Bottom of the ninth, Cubs on top of the White Sox right now, 6-3. That one missed away. 1-1 the count on Machuca. Rockies on top of the Diamondbacks, 1-0. Murphy a solo homer there. Earlier, Twins beat the Rangers 7-4. Orioles top the Blue Jays 8-1. That pitch called a strike now. 1-2 on Jacob. Nationals shut out the Royals 6-0. Suzuki got another homer. How about that? Scherzer, the big win there, is ninth of the year. His ERA at 2.3. Wow. Taking another pitch. Machuca. Now it's a 2-2 count. Just three other scores. Pirates beat the Brewers 12-2. Indians over the Reds 7-2. Rays edge the Yankees 4-3. Swung on. Popped up towards center field. Coming in is Miller. He's got a long way to go, but he's under it now, and he'll make the catch for out number two. Here comes Connor McCoy, the hero of last night's game, one of the heroes of last night's game. A walk-off homer, by the way, for the Rays. Darno's walk-off gave the Rays the win in the ninth over the Yankees, 4-3. Marlins edged the Braves 5-4. And the Astros shut out the Angels 4-0. So that gets you up to date, baseball-wise. Right here is Connor McCoy, the little right-handed batter. Swung on first pitch, hit left side. Third baseman Sundstrom bobbles it, but he's able to right the ship and make the throw and get McCoy for out number three. It was hit hard, but just right at him. So three up, three down in the top of the second. We're moving right along. Colt 45s and Santa Rosa A's Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
So top of the third, still no score. Colt 45's Jacob Marquez working his third inning. He's looked good and with 31 pitches, I believe 21 of them strikes. Well, actually, we'll get an update on that in just a moment. He'll face the 8-9-1 part of the Santa Rosa A's lineup. Marcelo Riley, Wyatt Vogt, and Max Herndon, the top of the order. So Riley starting it off. He was 0-for-2 last night, scored a run. He's attending San Francisco Community College, right-handed batter. Wears a helmet with one of those jaw guards. Well, I guess most of their batting helmets do have those now in the college level. And they certainly have them on the Santa Rosa Club. Marquez ready to get to work. Big leg kick. Swung on, popped up, first pitch. It's playable in the infield. Kodama and McCoy. Kodama calls off McCoy and makes the catch for out number one. That brings up Wyatt Vogt. It was impressive last night for a little guy. 1-for-2 with a run scored. Rancho Cotati High School. Right-handed batter. I'm telling you, he's all a five. He might be 5'6". 5'7". Might be 5'7". But he's in there. He had a hit, hit the ball on the nose last night. Takes a good cut at the first pitch. Marquez got blew it right past him. Owen. Owen won the count. Here comes the 0-1. Tries to back him off. And actually, it was on the inside corner. It looked like he was trying to back him off a little. It was called strike two. Hey, you hit the mitt. Own the inside part of the plate. That is exactly what Marquez is trying to do. Change up. That one hit it. Jacob coming a little too far inside on that one. Unfortunate second hit batter of the game, one for each pitcher now. You don't want to hit the nine hitter, especially when you're out in front 0-2. Kid was right on the plate, but still. That brings up Max Herndon, the catcher batting left. Had the good hop for him, bad hop for Julian Kodama hit back in the first over Kodama's head. Runner not going, swung on, hit towards the hole, right side. McCoy dives, can't get it, goes into right field. Rounding second, heading over to third is Vogt, and they'll have men on the corners and just one out. Hit him where he wasn't there. That was a Wee Willie Keeler moment there. Just a couple feet the other way, it might be a double play ball. And that is the way it goes. So their number two hitter, Daniel Harrington, he was one of the troublemakers last night. Three hits. They couldn't figure out a way to get him out until late in the game. Let's see what Harrington, they can coax Harrington into doing now. So Jacob steps off the rubber. He didn't have a college listed on their roster, right-handed batters. Deep in the box, slightly open stance, knees bent, takes a cut at the changeup away, way out in front, 0-1.
He is your beer batter, folks.
You can hear Rick Bossetti saying Harrington, after striking out in the first, Rick named him the beer batter. And that means the rest of the game, if he strikes out again, then beer is reduced price for those of age wishing to imbibe. Men on the corners. That next pitch, fastball, up, swung on and missed. Went up the ladder a little there. Jacob pitching confidently, moving the ball around. They actually play Harrington pretty shallow in center, which is what Thompson normally does, and right where Baena is. 0-2, another curveball, swung on, missed, strike three. So that's the fourth strikeout of the game. Comes at a good time for Marquez. Two outs now, the left-handed hitting Garrett James. James bounced out to second to end the first. Oh, yes, and by the way, for those people here who are thirsty, that gives them a discount on their beer. I saw a few smiling faces for the rest of this inning with Harrington's second strikeout. Garrett James takes the first pitch over for a strike. The runner at third, and then again, not trying to pick on him. Colt 45s have guys that do this. A pretty Wyatt vote is pretty animated over there, trying to get Marquez's attention. Marquez is a veteran pitcher. It's not the kind of stuff that usually should bother a veteran, and it's not so far. He's out in front 0-2. At first, Herndon was caught stealing in the first. Again, catching tonight, so you got to figure the later you get into the game, he probably wouldn't be as dangerous a base stealer. Your legs just get a little heavier. 0-2 count, not going. Big curveball, bounce towards short. Kadama, big hop, steps on the bag. Didn't matter. I don't know where they got the out. I guess he missed the bag. Threw it to first just for out number three. So it'll go down as a 6-3. No runs, a hit, no errors, and two men left on base. We go to the bottom of the third. Colt 45 is looking to get on the board in this scoreless game of summer collegiate baseball on KCNR.
Good things come to those who wait. At Jersey Mike's, they also come to those who don't. Download our app, order ahead, and skip the line. Cut to the Chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Looking for a team-building exercise? Order Jersey Mike's delivery from Uber Eats. Then share. Collaboration by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Scoreless game here in the bottom of the third. Colt 45's will have Kyle Schrodel, Andy Baena, and Tyler Thompson to bat here in the bottom of the third. Schrodel, the hero last night with men on the corners, and the Colt 45's trying to cap a rally from three runs down. He bounced one through the right side and brought in the tying run. Then their right fielder couldn't handle it. And scoring all the way from first was Connor McCoy for their first walk-off win of the season, a 10-9 victory. This day in baseball history, some fun stuff on the calendar. How about this one? Bob Feller, just 17 years old, after a find this one. I think you'll get a kick out of this one. Where's my Bob Feller story? Here it is. 1936, this date in history. After the first batter is thrown out trying to bunt, 17-year-old farm boy from Van Meter, Iowa, Bob Feller, strikes out 8 straight batters in 3 innings during an All-Star Break exhibition game against the Gas House Gang. That was his first appearance in a Major League uniform. I once batted up Bob Feller. That's right. Well, he was probably about 75, and he was doing a touring thing where you could take a pitch off of him against the media as Schrodel takes his first pitch. I think it was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I stood in there, and first pitch he threw, I mean, he was a very, very old man, and I hit it. Oh, maybe it would have been a double over the first base bag. You want to know what happened with the next pitch? Bob Feller, this is what got him in the Hall of Fame. He stuck one in my ear. He didn't hit me, but I didn't get another pitch to hit. I did get an autograph, though, from the late, great Bob Feller. So many great stories about him in his career. Lucky to have met him that day and to have him dust me off. Kyle Schrodel takes a pitch now. It's a ball and 2 strikes. That one misses away. Schrodel at 206 now. No homers, 11 runs batted in, a dozen walks. His on-base percentage, .321. He's been getting productive at bats. Last night, I mean, he told me, he said, I did my job. Runner was going. I took it the other way. Swings it. Strike 3. It gets away from the catcher all the way over to the on-deck circle. The catcher still tries to make the throw and throws it out into the bullpen area almost, out in right field. So Schrodel is all the way down at second. So while Herndon has looked very good offensively, I mean, that's just one of those experience things. Really, once the ball got 25 feet away, he really didn't have much of a chance to get Schrodel, who runs pretty well for him. I mean, he's a big guy, but he runs well. So that'll be a strikeout. They'll probably, and it'll be an error on the catcher with Schrodel going down to second. Vienna now to the plate. Andy had one hit last night. He hit leadoff last night with Thompson taking the night off. Right-hander takes first pitch away. Sidearmers fastball. But Andy's a couple of hits, a couple of games he's hit safely. 3 for his last 8. Changeup low and away. On the season, hovering right around .300, .299, a homer, 18 runs batted in. Again, another good on-base percentage, .466. And has been right up near the club lead in runs scored all year with 24 now. Change up. He just kind of cursory let the ball hit him. And the pitcher's calling for time. The ball's dead. I'm sure if he's all right, but that's a hit batter. So we have yet another hit batter. Second Colt 45's player to be hit with a pitch. Puts men on first and second. Pretty good speed out there on the base paths. And Tyler Thompson to the plate. He hit the ball well, but to center field, back in the first for the first out of the game. He'll be a sophomore at the University of Utah next year after taking 2 years off for an LDS mission. Goat looks to bunt. Perfect bunt. Third base side. Comes dead in the grass. The throw to first, they'll never get him. Beautifully executed. He got it in 2 hops down on that thick grass out front. And it died in the grass. That's how good a bunt it was. Catcher's throw was no way he was going to get to Speedy Thompson. An infield hit. Bases are now loaded. Nobody out. And Nate Cox will have to face the left-handed hitting Julian Kodama, who extended his hitting streak to every game. 10 games back in the first. He, I'm sure, would like to wipe some of the egg from his face when he was caught stealing third after his one-out double because he didn't slide. And they got him. Takes one up, 2-0 now. So hitters count. Julian holds the bat high, just above his helmet. There's a changeup away. He's really struggling right now. No action in the bullpen for the A's. Light's not on, but it is a not a sunshiny field. That's a fastball over, 3-0. Julian thought he had the walk. Kind of recenters himself with a foot out of the box. Now steps back in wearing those two white batting gloves. Changeup swung on, popped right side, going to be out of play. He has a long sleeve on his right arm, a compression sleeve. Kodama wearing those white gloves. They are weathered a little bit after a few weeks playing here at the club. I believe they were brand new when he started. But you can tell he's been getting them dirty. 3-2, the delivery. Now Kodama's tired of waiting, steps out. Working from the windup, Cox. His middle infielders are back with nobody out. They're looking for two. The corners are in a little bit, not quite on the grass, but they'll come home if they get a hard hit ball. Swung on, hit sharply right at the manager of the club for Santa Rosa, Justin Hergeth. He and Dave Cox, one of the other managers of this club, Michael Paul, summer ball oftentimes coaches will have other responsibilities. Many are college coaches as well. So they'll swap out. 3-2 swung on. Hit sharply the other way. Harrington goes back. He'll make the catch. One run will score. Baena hustles his way, tries to make the third, and he does, and he's safe. Holding at first base is Tyler Thompson. But Baena was tagging at second. He was able to move up. Schrodel scored pretty easily. So the sac fly RBI for Kodama. Now you have Thompson at first and Baena at third, Speed, and their manager, Hergeth, is coming out to have a little chat with Cox. Still no action in their bullpen. Tyler leads their team with 13 stolen bases. He's at first. Baena, good speed as well, of course. Second on the club with 11 steals. Might be one of those where let's see if they can draw a throw from the catcher, Herndon. I mean, he's shown a good arm, but he's also made an errant throw this inning that allowed Schrodel to reach. So that run on its own is unearned. Still just one out. Runner is going on the pitch. They're not even going to try to throw. Thompson slides anyway. So for Tyler, that's steal number 14 of the season of this summer in 25 games. Change up, big swing to Brendan Roop. 1-1 now, the county fouled that one off. Brendan was hit by a pitch in the first. Each team has hit at least one batter. Two batters have been hit by the Colt 45. Roop hitting 333 coming in. Bouncer foul. Colt 45 to the 1-0 lead. Actually, Eamon Velarde is a bat and is in the on-deck circle, so we might have seen the last of Chris Brudenite. This pitch swung on. Hit pretty deep to left center field. It hits off the top of the wall and into the net. What did I say about that last night? He almost got one. Tonight, Brendan Roop gets one. Touch them all. His third home run of the season. And the Colt 45s now have a 4-0 lead. Roop smiling, and he earned that one, showing off the new haircut. His mom's in town, made him get a haircut today. Had to rag on you about that, Brendan. But he hit one in that same area last night, and there was no breeze at all, and the air was so dead. You thought it was going to carry out. This one, a light breeze, it's just not as dead air as we had last night, and it carried normally, and it was out. Hit off the bricks, bounced into the net. So the three-run homer for Brendan Roop and Chris Brew out of the lineup. Eamon Velarde now pinch hitting, batting left against the right-hander. Not sure if Chris just re-aggravated that sore leg. We'll get the news for you as soon as we get it. So Velarde takes the first couple of pitches, trailing 0-2. No balls, two strikes in the count. Still just one out. Still nobody throwing in the Santa Rosa pen. Bases are empty, after all. Cox change up, laced towards center field. Coming on is Miller, and he'll make the running catch for out number two. So Velarde's pinch hit was, he got his bat on it pretty well for a guy who wasn't in the starting lineup tonight. And Tanner Tweet comes up with two outs, struck out in the second. He really didn't look good against Cox. That was honestly about as good as Cox has looked in that particular at-bat. He threw him, gave him a couple of interesting change-ups. Now Tweet's seen him. Let's see what Tanner can do the second time around. Takes that one over. That's fastball for called strike one. Like last night, the crowd quieter than it will be once something good happens like that. A line drive into right field, right through the whole base hit for Tanner Tweet. So Tweet is now hit in four straight games, his quietest hitting streak. It counts the same. That was a well-hit ball. He just went with the pitch. And now Jacob Machuca to the plate. Flood center field his last time up. Chukes was 0 for 3 with a run scored and an RBI last night. On the season, the guy really looking more and more comfortable. He's hitting just 163, but a homer and 9 runs batted in. Swung on, high chopper, right side. It gets past the first baseman, James, into right field for a base hit. So the Colt 45s have two on with two outs. And Connor McCoy to the plate. .560 out of Anderson, standing in, right-handed batter. He'll be attending Shasta College this year. He'll get in the program in the fall, and he'll compete for a starting job, I'm sure, with the Knights. First pitch is a curve. He got a look at Cox back in the last inning. Bounced to third to end that frame. Ninth hitter to come to the plate here in inning number three. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Another changeup. Almost hit him. Backed him off. 1-1. Top of the order, Kyle Schrodel, who led off this inning, reaching on a mishandled third strike and later scoring. He's on deck. 1-1 pitch. Swung on, hit pretty well, but right at the center fielder, Ryan Miller. Miller waits for it to come down, makes the catch. Four out, number three. But the Colt 45s bat around in the third. They get four runs on four hits. The big one, of course, the three-run home run by Brendan Roop. So a little breathing room, a little money to work with now for Jacob Marquez and the Colt 45s. They take that 4-0 lead to the top of the fourth. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Hey, North State sports fans. This is Brent Weber. I'm the host of Scorecard Scribblings from The Sports Guy. Me, Brent Weber. It's a blast. It's a chance to get some of my old friends on to chat about sports and meet some new folks, too, that can tell us what's happening out there, not just in the North State, but around the world in sports. So be sure and join us. That's Wednesday nights at 6.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now, they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Reading.
Well, Jacob Marquez now gets to come out and work with a lead. He spotted four runs. Brendan Roop's big three-run home run, the big blow. Let's see how he can handle working with that lead. Through three innings, Colt 45s and the Santa Rosa A's One run, or excuse me, four runs, five hits, no errors for the 45s, no runs, two hits, one error for Santa Rosa. One of those hits was a bad hop single that would have been a routine bounce out to lead off the game. So Marquez has been solid. He's allowed a base runner in every inning. Had a couple of guys on last inning before working his way out of it. Their cleanup hitter, Jason Moran, the right-handed batter at that big home run last night, stands in. Swings at the first pitch he sees. It was up a little and lines it into left field for a base hit. Jared Sundstrom now comes to the plate. Sundstrom watched a called third strike in the second. So much like the Colt 45s, who began to get to Nate Cox after getting a look at him. This is an important time through the batting order for Marquez, as Jacob is facing these hitters for a second time. That one's up. Sends from a right-handed batter. It looked like it's going to be a pretty sunset tonight with some light clouds along the mountains to give it a little more colorful glow. We've had the hot, bright days the last few days. We needed the clear skies on the 4th of July, of course, for the great fireworks in downtown Reading. We live streamed them on our Facebook page, Reading Colt 45s, but just didn't do it justice, of course. A ball and a strike. That one misses just a little low, 2-1. Marquez, 3 innings, 3 hits, no runs so far, a walk and 4 strikeouts coming in to this batter, Sundstrom. Checks the runner at first. Moran lengthens his lead. This pitch swung on, popped right side. Will they have a play? It's in foul territory. Bayena slides and can't make the catch. Tried to slide and get under it, but it was a long way to go and a short time to get there. Did I just quote Jerry Reed, Smoking the Bandit? He's bounding down. Sundstrom now stands back in. 2-2 count coming to the right-handed hitter. Again, Moran, decent lead. Marquez keeping an eye on him. He's running. Curve, it hit him. Just turned away from it, but going to let him hit the meat of his left arm. So both starting pitchers have hit two batters. Okay, we got that out of the way. There's two on and nobody out. So Marquez, so far, not taking advantage of that opportunity. Schrodel out having a little chat with him. Not sure what they're going over. Just maybe he saw a little something. You know, you get that. That's part of being a starting pitcher. You have a long rest where you're sitting down. And if you've been in a groove, as Marquez had been pretty much, hadn't allowed any runs, and, you know, you might need a little help from your catcher. Just to say, hey, you know, your arm slot's not here or something of that nature. Let's see if it can pay off. Here's Ryan Miller, first pitch swinging, left center, pretty deep. Machuca going back. Thompson calls for it, makes the catch. They're tagging. Thompson's throw just a little bit off the mark, and the runner will move over to third. So no sacrifice, of course, without the runner scoring, but Moran is able to get to third. Sundstrom stays at first. Goes down in the books as an F8. And now with one out, Colt 45s will play back for the double play as Alex Curley comes to the plate. One of the high school kids in their lineup, recent high school graduates. He's a shortstop. Little guy wears number 2. Taps the bat across the base. Marquez looks in. Got Curley to ground out his last time. Fastball, a good one, inside corner, called for a strike. He wanted to show him that's the pitch you'll see at the next level, young man. And Curley hasn't really looked like he minded too much the last couple of nights, and he's standing in there and taking his cuts. Here comes the 0-1. Runner not going. Fouls that one back out of play, 0-2. Lights are on now. Tiger Field. And as we mentioned, to the west is the sun setting behind the third base bleachers and the trees. Normally you'll get streaking shadows up until right about now, but we've not really had any shadows at all because of the clouds to the west of us. 0-2 delivery coming. See what Marquez goes with here. Sitting on the outside corner. Gets away from Schroeder. The runner will head up to second base. That might just be a pass ball. It just hit him in the glove. Don't know if they shook each other up on that one or if Kyle was thinking about the runner on third. But either way, he didn't squeeze it. Now you have him in on second and third and nobody out. So no force play, but they're still playing back in the infield with a four-run lead. You'll trade a run for an out here. Here comes the 1-2. Marquez finally has the sign he wants. Doesn't even look at the runner. Slide step, check swing. Did he go? Yeah, he did. They'll have to tag him out. Since first base is unoccupied, he does. It's strike three. He didn't realize he went. Now he's kind of looking at the umpire, looking at the base umpire. And yep, that's on you, kid. Should have ran. All right, so that's a strikeout. Check swing, but he didn't check it. So two outs now. Let's see if they can get out of this. The second inning in a row that they've had two out, two on. This is a little more trouble, though, of course, because two on with nobody up. Now two on with two outs. The eight hitter, Riley, hit a high fly to the short, to shortstop Julian Kodama. And that was to lead off inning number three. We're in the fourth. 1-0 pitch. Slide step. Checked his swing. Pretty good fastball. That was just a little bit up. 2-0 now the count. Yeah, you have first base open, but you're not thinking that way. You just attack the hitter here. 2-0 delivery. Reaches back. Good fastball. Foul back. Out of play. Eight hitter in the lineup, Riley. Jacob has gone deep into some games. This is a good lead for him, though. If he can keep it here. Back at the belt, working from the stretch. And delivers. Swung on, hit sharply to short. Past Kodama's glove into left field for a hit. One run will score. Two runs will score. It was a well-hit ball. Kodama just couldn't quite reach it. So it's a 4-2 game. Now with two outs, man on first base, Wyatt Vogt comes to the plate. Vogt was hit with a pitch in the third. I'm guessing the man wearing the A's jersey with the name Vogt on the back of it, taking pictures behind home plate video, is probably related to the kid here, Wyatt. Takes a good hack at his first pitch. Fouls it off, 0-1. He was hit with a pitch in the third, and Marquez, fortunate enough to get away with that. No runs scored that last inning. But he had him 0-2 and hit him with a pitch. Here's an 0-1 count. That's inside, 1-1. A little guy, but he's right on that plate. I mean, he's almost out of the batter's box with his back foot. Here comes a 1-1 pitch. Fouls it off. That was high heat. 1-2. And a little sun now popping out, but it's out along the outfield wall, so we're well past any concern. With sun causing problems in the field. Big curve, swung on, hit off of the pitcher. Kodama comes up with it, shovels it to second, and it's too late. Actually, I'm not sure that it was off of the pitcher. It just was a chopper up the middle. I'll have to check later to see if Marquez got his glove on it, because it looked like it did not get cleanly to Kadama. It was just a little bit late getting it over there. We'll see what the ruling is on that. But Vogt is on first. Now they again have two on with two outs. So it is an error on the shortstop. Left-handed hitting leadoff hitter Max Herndon, 2-for-2 tonight. He sits well off the plate in the left-handed batter's box. Changeup outside, misses 1-0. Unlike Vogt, who's right on the plate, Herndon, deep in the box with his back foot, a couple of feet away from the plate. And we'll see if they work in that way. The man on second base is giving some kind of signs to, whether he's pretending to give a sign to the hitter or just has tried to get the indicator and thinks he knows what the pitch is going to be. He just gave a signal to the batter. Doesn't matter. This pitch is bounced to second, over to short, and that'll end the inning. But they do get two runs on two hits. There was an error and a couple of men left on base. We'll go to the bottom half now. Colt 45 still on top, leading the Santa Rosa A's 4-2. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Come on, let's sit down together. I could stay here forever. Friendly smiles, family and friends, plates piled high with happiness. Last bedtime, it feels like home to me. Can't explain it, you just have to see.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally a time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We'd love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Well, middle of the inning, the kids' game out on the field is a T-shirt race. Kids had to a race so you could get the T-shirt on the quickest. If you've ever tried to get kids to put on their clothes in the morning, maybe you should do it that way. Pretty quick. Kids usually don't want to get dressed in the morning, but then again, you probably figured out my joke there. 4-2 the score. Colt 45's got four in the bottom of the last inning. Big blow as they batted around by Brendan Roop. Got a three-run bomb. And of course, the visitors, the Santa Rosa A's, got a couple in the top of the inning. Let's see if the Colt 45s can get it back. They batted around last inning. Schroedel had started it off, and so he's going to try to start it off again here. He didn't start it off in a way that he was probably real happy with. He struck out. The ball got away from their catcher, got far enough away for Schroedel to wind up down at second base after an errant throw down to first to try to complete the strikeout. Kyle did come around to score, and it's his team's first run, so that's doing what your team needs you to do. I'm sure he'd rather get a little base hit. First pitch from the sidearming or three-quarter delivery of Nate Cox. We mentioned out of Cardinal Newman High School. He rocks and fires, breaking ball over for a strike. A lot of off-speeds from the kid. Andy Bayena and Tyler Thompson also due to bat this inning. 1-1, swung on, popped up left side. Center fielder Miller goes back a little, makes the one-handed catch for out number one. That brings up Bayena, who was hit with a pitch and scored a run in the third. So Andy needing a hit to get back over that 300 mark. become quite a fan favorite here. Now, Thompson bunted his way on for a single. Andy's been known to do that. Let's see if he's just swinging away up there. Right-handed batter is showing bunt, and they bounce it up there. So at least he got a ball in the count ahead of it. Third baseman came in on the grass. Sundstrom. Sundstrom's a big old boy over there. He's also another kid just out of high school. Boy, he's thick. Not sure where he's going to college, but he's a full-grown third baseman. That's a breaking ball over for a strike, 1-1. Andy's had some hitting streaks during the season, some nice long ones for the club. He and Thompson both kind of went back and forth on team-leading hitting streaks. Has a little two-game streak going right now. That's, I don't know if it's officially a streak when it's two. We'll call it a back-to-back games with hits. We'll call it a streak when you get to three. Let's see if he can do. Oh, he turns and lets the ball hit him in the backside. Third hit batter of the game for Cox. Second time he's hit Bayena. And he's going to have to wear some padding. Well, he doesn't wear much padding. I kind of like that about it. Some of these guys wear all the elbow pads and all this stuff. And he's wearing long sleeves tonight, though. Not sure what that's about. It's not 100, so I guess it's not 90 at game time, so I guess Andy's going like it's Colorado, right? Like he's back home in Denver. Throw over to first as Bayana just takes a couple of steps off. They know he has speed. They know he can run. Second on the club with 11 steals. He's going on this pitch. Thompson fouls it back out of play. Not paying a whole lot of attention to him. They did throw over, but Andy was taken off the first movement. You don't see many kids coming right out of high school that have been able to develop a very deceptive throw over yet. I mean, that is a skill. It takes a lot of practice. You know, most youngsters don't begin to work feverishly on that till they get around more professional coaches and collegiate coaches, obviously. Change up. Misses away, 1-1. Let's see if Bayana's going again. Sizes out his lead, and they throw over there again. If you're going to throw over there, you can't throw it away. Well, Colt 45s will be just fine with that. I'm on board. Cox has now thrown over three times. Now Bayan is going. Throw well outside. I don't know if it was a quasi pitch out or what. The pitcher, though, Bayan is able to pretty much stand at second with the steal. It's 12th of the year. The pitcher patted his chest to say, mine. That was my bad. He didn't give the catcher any chance to throw him out. Big breaking ball misses up. Showing some signs, three balls and a strike. Signs of tiring a little bit. This is 58 pitches now for Cox. Nobody throwing in their pen. Bayena at second, not a big lead, and they walk Thompson. So Kadama a chance. Here with two on. Speed galore, including Julian at the plate. He's officially 1-for-1. Drove in a run his last time up with a sacrifice fly. Hit it pretty well to the opposite field. Now leads the team in hitting at 381. 16 hits and 17 hits now and 43 at-bats. Since joining the club, pops it up high to right field. Riley calls for it, comes in, won't be deep enough for... And they drop it. He drops it. All hands are safe. Bayena's going to round third. He's going to try to score. The throw is late. Andy Bayena scores as the A's just kind of lost focus on the high fly. And Andy was going to tag, and once he realized that he could keep running, Biz just sent him on. It's 5-2, Colt 45s now. They have runners on first and second. And Brenton Roop coming to the plate. He hit a three-run homer last inning. So Thompson's at second now. Kadama on the error at first. So the Colt 45s have played at a run without benefit of a single hit. Let's see if Brendan Roop could benefit a hit, could add a hit to the cause. Cox is kind of getting predictable. His breaking ball is what he's throwing over for a strike. That was a called strike. Roop wasn't interested. Some rumblings out in the Athletics bullpen. 0-1, swung on. Big cut, big foul. 0-2 now. Velarde on deck. One out. Colt 45 is trying to take advantage of a walk, a hit batter, an error. So far, one run to show for it here in the bottom of the fourth. That one's low, 1-2. Roop wasn't buying what they were selling. Joe Klon out of Santa Rosa. We saw him last night heading out to the bullpen right now. Looks like there's another pitcher out there already as well. That was a fastball away, 2-2. Pitching carefully to Roop. Brendan had some family make the trip. That's always nice. He's out of Dallas area, Grand Prairie, Texas. South Grand Prairie High School. How's a changeup? Swung on, missed. Strike three. First base was occupied, so he can't run. But the other runners have moved up, which I don't believe they're allowed to either. The umpires are going to discuss that, but that would be strike three. Yeah, it's basically a strike three dead ball situation. No one's able to advance. With the runners at first and second and less than two outs. That would be infield fly, but drop third strike if first base is occupied and less than two outs. It's basically pitch over. And there was Roop. Hey, that was actually not strike three. Listen to me. I guess he must have tipped it. That's strike three. I was completely out of the loop on that one, Brendan, and sorry about that. Either way, he goes down on the strikes. So, didn't work out for anybody in the way that they wanted to, including yours truly. Now, Eamon Velarde comes to the plate. Hit the ball well to shallow center, but Ryan Miller was able to come on and make the catch. The switch hitter batting left here. Curveball took a big cut way out in front on that one, 0-1. Hasn't gotten that many at-bats in the second half of the season when he's been focusing on his pitching, but hitting .344, 11 hits and 32 at-bats. Coming in, so 11 and 33 now. No homers, four runs batted in. And a couple of doubles among those 11 hits. Next pitch fouled off right side, 0-2. The 0-2 pitch, change up away, 1-2. Cox trying to get out of a jam here in the bottom of the fourth. Two on, two outs. Colt 45s don't have a hit in this inning, and they got a run. Change up away, 2-2. And Cox, the son of one of the other managers that works this club, Dave Cox. Dave is not with the team. Being managed this weekend by Justin Hergeth. Fastball fouled right side, way out in front of it, Velarde. But again, his pitches are getting up there, 71. So I would imagine this may be his last inning. Swung on foul. Back, almost needed my net. Almost needed the fishing net. But it hit the backstop net instead. Tanner Tweed would like to bat this inning. He would like that opportunity. There are two outs. No breeze now. Kind of that dead air feel like we had last night. Not as hot, though. The flag is now lying quietly along the flagpole, swung on foul back. So Velarde just missing it. Seems like he's on the fastball. Let's see. We'll have to see if Cox goes back to that curve again. That's been his out pitch. 2-2. Eamon up there to protect the plate. There's the curve, missed way away, 3-2. Very young team on the other side, Santa Rosa. Much younger than some of the teams the Colt 45s have faced. Certainly younger than the Colt 45s. Velarde attends Feather River. He swings, hits a high chopper to second. The second baseman waits. Velarde just does not beat it out. It just got him by a half a step for out number three. So the Colt 45s add one run without benefit of a single hit. There was an error, and there were two men left on base. We'll go to the top of the fifth. Colt 45's up 5-2 on the Santa Rosa Athletics. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
The Redding Rancheria Head Start program is a comprehensive preschool learning environment where everyone is respected and included.
Rancheria is really good. You know, they do a lot of stuff with the community and for the families. And especially a Head Start like this, they give 150% towards the kids. It's a really awesome program.
The program is planting seeds. They get more education here. So this is a great, great Head Start.
What I really like about the Head Start is they're really into their culture. They work on their language, both Wintu and Pitt River.
The Redding Rancheria is giving people an opportunity to grow, helping build this community into a stronger place, and they're very proud of their heritage.
Coming together for the kids in education, it's powerful.
The Redding Rancheria Head Start program is free to those eligible. Learn more and enroll at reddingrancheria.com.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back. This is right about in Jacob Marquez's starts this year where the tests have come. Five innings is his longest appearance. He went 4 2/3. Again, he's had some tough luck, but this would be a big inning for him if he can get through the fifth, pitch into the sixth against these Santa Rosa A's. A 5-2 lead, five runs, five hits, one error for the Colt 45s. 2-4-2 for Santa Rosa. Daniel Harrington leads it off, takes the first pitch up. He has two strikeouts tonight after his big night last night. He wears glasses. I've not spoken with him, but seems to be a very affable kid. He was actually talking to a couple of the Colt 45s players after the game last night, talking. Hey, what pitch was that you threw? How do you throw that? That was a good pitch. That one's over for a called strike. 1-1. Saw him before the game smiling. Seems to have a good personality. The next one over for a strike. 1-2. He wears sleeves on both arms and white batting gloves. Also a left arm guard over his elbow, a left elbow guard. Awaits the 1-2 pitch from Marquez. Jacob doesn't yet have the sign. Call time is called for. Marquez, 66 pitches, as I've mentioned. Better than a 2-1 ratio strikes to balls. And that's what you're looking for. 1-2. Good fastball. Hit sharply left side through the hole. Base hit. Kadama had to really range to his right. Was hit hard enough to get past the dirt and into the grass. So Harrington with a leadoff single, his first hit of the night, and it brings up their three-hitter, the left-handed batting Garrett James. Action out in the bullpen now. See if I can determine who it is. Getting loose. First pitch to James off the edge of his bat. It was a changeup, fouled back. That might be Colby Milligan. So I don't know if he's just getting in some work or where he stands out there. We'll see. 0-1 pitch coming. Good fastball. Blew it by him. 0-2. The cleanup hitter on deck. James 0-2 tonight. Bounced to second and bounced to short. He waggles the bat high, but not above his head, kind of in front of his helmet. Throw over to first, diving back in safely. Marquez keeping an eye a very good lead for Harrington at first. He's thinking they're running, but they're not. Curveball, high chopper, first base. Tweed has to wait for it. Steps on the bag. They go to second to try to get the tag out, but they can't do it. It's too late. Tweed had no other play. It was just hit too, bounced too high. So the three unassisted. Harrington will move to second on the fielder's choice. And with one out and a man in scoring position, the designated hitter, Jason Moran, comes to the plate. Walked in the second, singled in the fourth. He scored in the fourth. He stands in, wearing blue batting gloves. Sure, it's come from his college team. Out in the Colt 45's bullpen. Milligan is one of the guys out there. Cross is out there. Nobody's throwing, though. They're just ready if needed to begin throwing. 0-1. It's a 5-2 lead right now. We are in the top of the fifth. Now it's a changeup a little low. The runner now going to third. He kind of caught Schrodel not paying attention, getting it back to him, and caught unawares. Harrington now at third base. Colt 45's defensively. They're playing back. They'll trade a run for an out. And Marquez steps off to kind of catch his breath, refocus in. Jacob does not show a lot of emotion out there. Very mature young pitcher. There's a big curve, bounce, third base side. One play, that's the first. The run will score. Roop throws it over to first, and Tweet squeezes it for out number two. So it's now a 5-3 game. And there are two outs. That brings up Jared Sundstrom. Bases are empty now. Sundstrom, the big right-handed batter, third baseman I was mentioning before. Swings and fouls one back. If you're just basing something on appearance, I'd say he probably has some power or may develop some. He's just a young kid. I'm sure he's just probably 18 years old. Here comes the 0-1. There's a curve swung on, hit towards right. Bayena coming on, closes, can't make the catch, gets away from him. Thompson comes up, and the throw to second will be late. They'll probably give him a double. Andy tried to catch it, made a sliding grab, and came up slowly for just a moment. Not sure if he jammed his hand or anything. Might have just scraped something out there. Rick Pacetti's been trying to teach them. There's a way to actually make that play without hurting yourself. And, of course, it's an experienced outfielder. But that was how Jacob Machuca hurt the glove hand when he went for a ball like that. Thought Andy had it, but it just didn't really have any air time. So they have a man at second now with two outs and the right-handed hitting Ryan Miller at the plate. Miller's 0 for 2. And for the series, 0-6. Here comes an 0-1 pitch. That one's just a little low. It's kind of hard to do because he's really not that tall. Marquez trying to get out of this fifth. Bouncing ball hit towards short. Kodama, backhand, throws. He gets him for out number three. So they do indeed pick up one run on two hits. There were no errors and one man left on base. We'll go to the bottom of the fifth, see if the Colt 45s can get one run back. You're listening to Colt 45 Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
And now back to more Colt 45's baseball action on KCNR AM 1460.
Bottom of the fifth, Colt 45's leading 5-3. They'd like to get some more breathing room. Tanner Tweet will lead it off. It's Tweet, Jacob Machuca, and Connor McCoy here in the bottom of the fifth. And Nate Cox is indeed still out there on the hill. The youngster out of Cardinal Newman High School, headed to Santa Barbara Community College. Tweet extending his current hitting streak to 4 games last time up. 4 for his last 15, so it's kind of a quiet little hitting streak. Came into the game hitting .271 with 3 homers and 10 runs batted in. Done a little bit of everything. He hopes that hand that had the break on the outside bone, he had pins inserted, surgery during the season for Sac City. He's hoping he can get behind the plate, do some catching before the summer's out. Not quite there yet. It's his bat that the Colt 45s are just tickled to have. Change up, swung on first pitch, hit sharply to third. It eats him up over there, and he'll have no chance of getting Tweet. Sundstrom probably going to get tagged with an error there. I mean, it was hit hard, but not that hard. Indeed, an error on the third baseman. Tweet's a good base runner. And Machuca to the plate. Single through the hole on the right side last time. Both Tweet and Machuca did that in that inning. The two outs, in fact. That was the big inning where Brendan Rupp had cleared the bases with a 3-run homer. They should have relief ready out in the bullpen by now. Pretty sure it's Clement, who we saw in last night's game. That pitch is low, a ball. Machuca going to ask for some time now, as is routine. Now he gets back in. Cox trying to work quickly. Sidearms the throw over to first. Colt 45's got 4 in the bottom of the third. First runs for either team. A's bounced back with 2 in the fourth and 1 in the fifth. The Colt 45's also got 1 in the fourth. That's where we stand, 5-3. That one's over for a strike, 1-1. Connor McCoy hits next. And lazy throw over to first. Here comes a 1-1 pitch finally. Sidearm fastball up, 2-1. Cox looked like he was running out of gas last inning. Don't really have a feel for it right now. His pitch count is at 79. Sidearmer, he just kind of, every now and then he zips the fastball, but for the most part it's just a pretty soft fastball. Throws over to first. Beautiful, beautiful orange sky. More to the northwest. Runner going on this pitch. It's a ball. Safe at second. With a stolen base. For Tweet, that's, I believe for Tanner, that's his fifth. And he's
Sneaky speed.
Actually, let me rephrase all this, because apparently that was indeed ball four. That's what I get for... I got caught looking at the sunset, people. See what happens? It's no different here. Love those sunsets anyway. They may be making a pitching change as their skipper comes out. Has he made the call yet to the bullpen? You know, the pitcher thought he had. Yep, they're taking the ball from him. We'll tell you about the pitching change with two on and nobody out here in the bottom of the fifth. We'll be right back. Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, every Thursday night at 6 p.m., right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR, AM 1460.
Well, we have a new pitcher, Joe Clamon, another one of those teammates of Jacob Marquez out of Santa Rosa. Last night, the right-hander went 2 1/3, gave up just two hits. No runs were tagged on him, a walk and four strikeouts. Was their most. They had a couple of pretty effective pitchers. Their last pitcher, though, just, well, couldn't handle it. And Colt 45's got four off of them. Let's see if they can do a little better tonight against Clamon with two on. And nobody out. And Connor McCoy and could be thinking bunt, and they do. And he pulls back, and did he chase it? Yeah, he did. 0-1. Clamon is a little better fastball. Definitely a complete different look from Cox. And those two runners on base are Cox's responsibility. He leaves the game four innings, four plus. There's a sidearm. Popped up towards right center. The right fielder goes back. Center fielder calls him off of it. Tagging at second, Tweed is able to get to third standing. And one out now, and runners on the corners. Not a sacrifice, but put the ball in play the other way. As I was saying, Cox went four plus, five hits, five earned runs to this point charged against him. Three walks and three strikeouts. Kyle Schrodel now at the plate. 0 for 2 tonight, flew to center field his last time up. Had the game-winning hit last night. It was 2 for 5 with two runs batted in and a run score. Here comes the pitch. Not any kind of lead at first. First pitch popped up in the infield. Curley calls for it, makes the catch. Out number 2. So Machuca's still at first, Tweets at third. Now two outs for Andy Bayena, who's not really had an opportunity to swing the bat, really, considering he's been hit twice in two plate appearances. But that was another pitcher. This is all about Clamon. Joey Clamon, right-hander, out of Santa Rosa, as we mentioned. Big leg kick, so the runner's going. Throw down to second. Will they get him? No. Machuca steals it. The throw goes into center field. Colt 45's getting what they want out of it. An errant throw plates the game's sixth run for Redding. A fifth run, excuse me. Sixth run. Correct. 6-3. Give Machuca a stolen base. We forget Jacob can run, because he's such a big guy. But they just weren't, he was able, I believe, to get the feel off of Clamon's, what he does with that front leg. A lot of pitchers if you get a read on a guy, you can tell he's going to slide step sometimes. A slide step, of course, also is something you develop with more experience. There's a big kick. Swung on. Might be a broken bat right at short. One hop. Curly. Fields. Baena can fly, but he gets him by a step at first for out number three. But the Colt 45s do get a run. There was an error. They got that run. Well, without benefit of a base hit. So you'll take it, right? We go to the top of the sixth inning. Colt 45s now have a 6-3 lead over the Santa Rosa A's. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Reading.
So we have a new pitcher here in the top of the sixth, so that will equal Jacob Marquez's longest appearance of the season. And we'll get a look at Colby Milligan. Colby pitched a couple of nights ago and had a rough go of it. Let's just tell you the tale. Excuse me. He started on the 4th of July. Colt 45s wound up winning that game 16-14. But in that game, he went just one inning against the Ringtails. Just struggled with his control. Three walks, no hits, but charged with four, count them, four earned runs. So Colby, a chance, much like Eamon Velarde, perhaps, if he's needed later this series. The pitch just a couple of days later, so he's going to lead it off, facing Alex Curley, a little shortstop. First pitch is a check swing. Colby, the big kid. He's going to go to University of Texas, Permian Basin. She's out of Shasta College. 6'3", 210. Good-looking left-hander. This pitch swung on. Laced down the left of the line, but foul. So the count is 0-2. He thought he might have had extra bases. He was excited, was running down there. Now he's got to come back, catch his breath, get his batting gloves right. Milligan's ready to pitch. Curley has to stand in. Milligan with the windup, he's, as I said, a big left-hander. He cocks the ball back. That was a changeup way out in front called, or it swung on and missed. Strike three. So let's take a look at game live baseball. We can always check our pitches or our stats. And for Jacob Marquez, leaves with a 6-3 lead. That's the good part. Five innings, six hits, three runs, three earned, one walk and five strikeouts. Now the right-handed batter, Marcelo Riley, who singled in two runs in the fourth, swings and hits just a nubbler off of his fists towards first. Tweet fields it, looked like a cue shot. Actually not a cue shot, but it had a ton of spin on it. Steps on the bag for out number two. Now Wyatt Vogt to the plate. Some other changes in the lineup and we'll try to get to those for you. I'm not sure which team the changes are actually for, so the left-handed Milligan pitched to the number nine hitter, Wyatt Vogt. Or is this one of the changes? This is indeed Asher Sutter now batting. So Sutter batting in place of Vogt. here in the sixth. He played last night, started. Pitches over for strikes quickly down on the count 0-2. Sutter was 1-for-5 as the DH last night out of College of Marin. Change up, bounces it to short. Weird hop, but Godama gets this one, makes the throw over to first for out number three. He called him safe. Wow, I guess he pulled Milligan off, or Milligan, excuse me, Tweet must have pulled his foot off the bag. We'll see who there's going to be an error on that one. Tough for Milligan. Now, he's got to learn to shake that off. It was one of those that had, Kodama had to play a funky hop off the lip of the grass. One of those early in the game bounced over his head. That time it bounced kind of to him, but he was able to get it. Looked like he had the throw. Milligan's pitch swung on, missed. This is their leadoff hitter, Herndon. Goes back to the screen. Now Herndon is 2 for 3, excuse me. This one swung on, bounced left side. It's into left field for a hit. They're going to hold the runner at third as the throw comes in. And they've got the runner caught off. Roop runs it right at him. Then they get it to Schrodel, who tags the runner at the plate. So Sutter is out. You can call it a 7-5-2 if you're keeping score. So they get a couple of hits. Well, a hit and a funky play that we don't really know how they scored yet. I believe they gave him a single on that. A couple of hits. They leave one man on base, but no runs scored as we go to the bottom half of inning number 6. Colt 45s with a 6-3 lead. This is Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Well, welcome back. Colt 45's with a 6-3 lead, batting here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Looking to get a little more insurance, facing their second pitcher of the night, Joe Clement out of Santa Rosa. We got a call from a woman who said her son actually played at Concord. Well, I better get this right. I could get this wrong. I don't want to get this wrong. Played at Concord de la Salle. Daniel Harrington, we told you we didn't know where he played, and he's pitching at Baylor now, if I got that right. And we will try to look all that up, but thank you for the call. There's a terrific athletic program there. And if he's pitching at Baylor, well, that's a pretty darn, or playing at Baylor, that's a pretty big school. So, we appreciate you calling us. Left-handed batting Tyler Thompson to the plate, facing the right-hander, pops it left side, foul territory, falls for a foul ball. They gave chase over there, long chase. It was Harrington giving it chase, just on cue, right, Daniel? Right on cue. All right, so Tyler Thompson stands back in. Tyler's one for two tonight. Flew to center in the first, had a bunt single in the third, stole second and scored, and walked and was stranded in the fourth. Now the pitcher, the big left-hander, Clement, taking his time, big right-hander, excuse me, on the rubber. Funky kick with his leg. Mentioned his delivery is quick. He doesn't necessarily move quickly between pitches, but his actual windup, once he kicks his leg, he thrusts the ball, really moves quickly with his upper body. That one misses. It's two balls and two strikes. This pitch swung on, hit towards second, and it gets through. The second baseman diving for it, can't knock it down. So we have a leadoff single for Tyler Thompson, doing what he does, getting on base. Another two-hit game for Tyler. That brings up Kodama. Julian was our pregame guest on the radio tonight. Started off well, a one-out double in the first. Was eventually actually caught stealing third. Did drive in a run on a sacrifice fly in the third. Reached on an error by the right fielder in the fourth that helped the Colt 45 score a run. Clement's pitch called a strike, 0-1. Now Clement again taking his time working from the stretch. Excellent speed at first in Thompson. 14 steals. He's going for his 15th. This ball hit towards short. That'll allow Thompson to get there easily. So Kodama not able to hit behind the runner, but with the runner moving, he tried to poke one through. Just didn't get past her. So the throw to first for out number one. Runner is at second, and Brendan Roop will come to the plate. He's officially one for two. The three-run homer in the third, a strikeout in the fourth. He was hit with a pitch back in inning number one. First pitch swung on by Roop for a strike. Brennan standing back in. Had another multi-hit game last night. Three hits. This one swung on. Hit sharply to short. Hot potato. Curly knocks it down. Can he get Roop there? Oh, he does. Terrific job by James over at first to squeeze it. We saw a good arm there from Curly. It was a hot potato out there at short, but he was able to beat it with a stick and throw out Roop. So staying at second is Thompson. And now Velarde with a chance. Amon batted for the first time back in the third. Chris Bruce started the game at DH. Not sure if Chris's leg is flared up on him. He's actually sitting in the coach's area right now. He bounced short back in the first, but Velarde came in. Flew out to center and bounced to second. Swung on, fouls that one right side. He's been well out in front of quite a few. Guess what? Nope, here come the cowbells. That pitch. A ball, 1-1. Now here, the big left-hand batter standing back in. Amon out of Wairika. Plays at Feather River College. Change up, swung on, laces it towards center. It's going to be caught there, though. Hit well, but Ryan Miller snags it for out number three. No runs, a hit, no errors. A man left on base. Colt 45's up 6-3 over the Santa Rosa A's. Let's head to the top half of inning number seven. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
You're listening to Colt 45 Baseball on AM 1460 KCNR.
Well, Colby Milligan is second inning of relief for the Colt 45s. He has a 6-3 lead to work with for Jacob Marquez as we are in the top of the seventh inning. And here's Daniel Harrington. His mom called. She said he went to Oklahoma State, transferred down to Baylor. Mom, we're trusting you on that. I haven't been able to look those up, but I'll try to get over there and talk to him before tomorrow's game. Those are a couple of pretty big programs out of Concord De La Salle. Of course, many great athletes have come out of there. This first pitch to him batting here is popped foul territory, third base side, but going to be out of play. As I mentioned, very affable young guy in their lineup. He singled and eventually scored in the fifth. It was kind of a heads-up play, stealing third, and helped enable him to score in an infield out. Right-handed batter stands in now, takes a change away from Milligan. Colby, you mentioned, just pitched a couple of days ago, but for him, chance to kind of get some innings. He needs them. 22 innings on the season. He has a 1-2 record. And a 7.77 earned run average. This is his third relief appearance. He started five games. Strikeouts have been kind of right there, but the base on balls has been the boogaloo for Colby. 2-1. This pitch swung on, bounced third base side, but foul. 2-2 now. 22 innings. He's posted 17 strikeouts, but 19 walks. And has hit eight batters. That's in 22 innings. So Colby knows he's got to work on that aspect of his game. Big left-hander now waiting on the batter Harrington to get back. He has his white bat back in his hand. A lot of pine tar on that one, right, Daniel? A lot of pine tar. Two batting gloves. Awaits the pitch. Took a good cut of the fastball, but it gets away. He's hustling. Schrodel's throw to first just gets him. Harrington was aware that it had gotten away from Schrodel. Schrodel got a good bounce, got right on it, and was able to throw him out. So it's a strikeout. 2-3 if you're scoring at home. And Garrett James will now come to the plate. James is 0-3. He's bounced out each time. Second to short to first. See if you can get one over to Roop at third. Maybe kind of make the rounds. Breaking ball. No, foul that one back. No ball. One strike pitch. Big curve way out in front. Boy, James was swinging for Grape Avenue. Now Milligan, one out here, top of the seventh, a little bit low, but Colby's looked more comfortable certainly than he did two nights ago. That pitch swung on, bounced, just kind of reached out, trying to stay alive on it. 1-2. He's right back in there. In fact, everybody's ready to go except for Kyle Schrodel. The batter was in the box. Milligan was ready to deliver. He just missed inside, 2-2. But Kyle was still getting back in position. All right, here comes the 2-2 delivery. The big lefty delivers a changeup, swung on, hit towards center. Thompson has a bead on it, makes the catch route number two. And now that'll bring up Jason Moran, who has an RBI tonight. It was on a ground out. One hit. So he's one for two tonight. As you know, he's had a couple of hits last night, including the homer. So he's 3 for 6 in two games. Milligan's pitch away. A ball and no strikes. Kobe has the sign. Schrodel setting up inside. Outside, rather. Misses inside. Again, that breeze we had earlier, gone. Air a little thicker again now as the night's gone on. Still not hot like it has been. 2-1 to count now. That one's a called strike. Left-hander delivers. That one's fouled up off the foot of the catcher, actually, of the batter, actually. Yeah, it's always fun here at the ballpark. And plenty to cheer about tonight for the Colt 45s, up 6-3. Milligan with a 2-2 pitch coming to Moran. Swings and misses, strikes him out. Third strikeout for Milligan in his two innings of work. So we go to the bottom of the seventh. Enjoy the seventh inning stretch, folks. However you like to do that at home, take a walk, do a jig, have a sip of soda, whatever it takes, or you can visit the restroom during this time. We'll be back with the bottom of the seventh in just a moment. You're listening to Colt 45 Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
Looking for a home loan? Omega Mortgage Group built its reputation on providing low rates and outstanding customer service. We've worked hard to lower our costs so we can pass those savings on to you. There's a reason so many real estate agents, escrow officers, and other industry professionals refer their clients to Omega Mortgage Group. Contact Omega Mortgage Group today at 223-1400 or visit us at omglending.com and find out for yourself. Omega Mortgage Group is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID number 1253874.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Chris Jensen live at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Well, it's hotter than hell outside right now. It's 100 in the shade with the sun beating down.
He's not your typical country artist, singer, songwriter, award winning, crowd pleasing. He's the total package. His hits include Buy Me a Boat, Drunk Girl, and Fix a Drink.
No, but I can fix a drink. Pour it on ice.
Country artist Chris Jensen, Friday, August 30th. Tickets on sale at WindRiver.com.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Yes, they're enjoying the take me out to the ball game at seventh inning stretch here for Colt 45's fans, and plenty to cheer about. Leading 6-3 right now, going to the bottom of the seventh. Glad you could join us. Bringing you up to date on some ball games elsewhere. Triple A ball, we mentioned earlier that Bill Plummer's grandson got the start tonight, and this is his best start yet at Triple A. Six innings. And Connor Menez has pitched very well tonight. Six innings. He's allowed just three hits, no earned runs. And Reno, he's 8 strikeouts and 3 walks. So his best, and he also, his best pitching performance, and he also doesn't have a lot of runs in support of him tonight. Just a 1-0 lead in the seventh for him. So we'll try to get you more information, but that's a solid start. I know the Giants are excited with his progress, obviously at AAA now. We'll get you some other Major League Baseball scores as we move along, but we'll do that in the next half inning. Leading off here in the bottom of the seventh, Tanner Tweet takes the first couple of pitches, a ball and a strike, fouled one of them back. Tanner, 1-for-3 officially, swings and hits this one high to center field. Going back to center fielder, still going back. Miller on the warning track, can't get it. It bounces off his glove. Tweet has been chugging. He's going to stand at third with a leadoff triple here in the seventh. Another one of those that if the wind were blowing out at all, because it was out at the deepest part of the park, just on the edge of the warning track. Miller looked like he had his eye on it, almost got to it. Not sure. Their shortstop is he's trying to get the indicator on whether or not they want him to play in on the infield with Clemon pitching against the left-handed batting Jacob Machuca, and they're going to play in. They don't want the Colt 45s to get any more runs. Machuca swings and laces the first pitch he sees into center field. Well, that takes care of that. It's a 7-3 lead. So Tweed's triple. Machuca just slashes the first pitch he sees. His second hit of the night, and Connor McCoy comes to the plate. McCoy 0-for-3. Still nobody out. Connor showed bunt his last time up in this scenario. He did not wind up continuing down the sacrifice road. Let's see what they do here. Throw to first, back in safely is Machuca. Jacob did steal a base in the fifth. Big guy has some wheels. Checking the runner. He's not going. That was inside. Hey, I told you I was going to get you some updates on scores next inning, but I want to tell you right now, Slater hit a grand slam for the Giants, his first of his career for San Francisco. So that's good news for Giants fans. This pitch swung on, hit to third. Sundstrom bobbles it, but is able to get it to second for one. They don't get the double play at first. Sundstrom hasn't fielded many balls cleanly on the first stab, but he's able to get a handle on it, and that's a good arm. So he was able to get Machuca at second. That's a 5-4. McCoy safe at first on the fielder's choice. And Kyle Schroedel to the plate. Kyle looking for his first hit of the night, 0-for-3. But the Giants with a 5-1 lead. Slater, his first career grand slam for San Francisco. That one's in the sixth. Popped up right side by Kyle. Foul territory, given a long chase. And the first baseman cannot come up with it, so it falls harmlessly for a strike. 0-1 on Schroedel. Same two teams tomorrow night. Be a good night to come out to the ballpark. 6:15 first pitch on Sunday night. We'll have our pregame show for you at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And then the Colt 45s are back in action later in the week. Runner going. This pitch bounced foul third base side. Later in the week when they take on the Ringtails on the 11th and 12th, that's Thursday and Friday before the Fairfield Indians come to town Saturday and Sunday. The Colt 45s will have their second road trip of the year, just a two-game trip to see the Crabs. Runner going on this pitch. Throw down to second. It was a ball. Safe with a stolen base is Machuca. So they're testing the kid's arm behind the plate. We know he has a good one, but I'm not sure that they're not just stealing on Clemon. So the stolen base for McCoy, that wasn't Machuca, for McCoy, who reached on the fielder's choice when Machuca was forced out. But he's out there now with one out. And Schroedel awaiting a 1-2 delivery. Swung on, laced down the right field line, grabbed by the first baseman, for out number two. And it may have actually been in foul territory. It was just right over the bag, but he was able to dive and Garrett James make the play. Tough luck for Kyle there. Andy Baena now comes to the plate with two outs and a man at second base. Andy looking for his first hit of the game. Bounced a short to end the fifth. Action out in the bullpen for both teams. First pitch to Baena misses. Not sure who's been throwing in the Colt 45's pen. They're all out there. And a couple of guys out in the darkness of the visiting bullpen out in the right field corner. That pitch to Baena, called a strike. A ball and a strike now to count. McCoy out at second, trying to get their attention. Acting like he's given signs to Baena. Swung on, little hit sharply towards second, but fielded there by Sutter. Throws it on to first, four out number three. So the Colt 45s do get a run on a leadoff triple and an RBI single by Jacob Machuca. They leave a man on base, and we'll go to the top of the eighth, holding on to now a 7-3 lead. Redding leading Santa Rosa. You're listening to Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
And now back to more Colt 45 baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, yes, they do love to play this one loud. And that's okay. It's just part of the night at the ballpark. It's a hit in Fenway. Let's get you up to date on some scores here before the visitors come to bat. It is still Colby Milligan, his third inning of relief. I told you that Slater had his first career grand slam for the Giants, giving them a 5-1 lead. They're now in the sixth in San Francisco over the Cardinals. Padres up 1-0. Kenta Maeda is pitching well, but he's given up one run, and the Padres have that lead. That is in the eighth. And the A's trailing in Seattle, 6-2 now the score. Seager, a big two-run home run there. Some other scores. Red Sox did beat the Tigers 10-6 at Comerica Park. 6-5 Mets topped the Phillies. The Cubs did hold on to beat the White Sox. 6-3 the final in Chicago, down on the south side. Other scores in progress. Diamondbacks lead the Rockies 4-1. Lamb got his first home run of the year. Finals, Twins beat the Rangers 7-4. Orioles pounded the Blue Jays 8-1. Nationals and Scherzer shut down the Royals 6-0 the final there. Scherzer even stole a base. I don't know how he did that. Oh, yeah, he did. He stole a base. Wow, way to go. Pirates beat the Brewers 12-2. In that one, Moose homered and Grandal homered for the Brew Crew in the loss. Newman and Cabrera homered for the Pirates. They had 17 hits in that one. Indians over the Reds, 7-2. Rays edge the Yankees 4-3. Darno's homer in the bottom of the ninth. It was a walk-off. Marlins beat the Braves 5-4. Ramirez and Castro homers for Miami, Acuna and Riley for the Braves, and the Astros shut out the Angels 4-0. Cole pitched 7 shutout innings for the win there. Well, Sundstrom leading off. He drew the walk, so he's over at first base. And now batting is Ryan Miller. So I gave you all those scores, and I guess Colby wound up walking him. That's all right. No harm done yet. Right-handed hitting Miller awaits. That one's over for a strike, 1-1. The veteran crowd out here tonight, they save their energy for excitement. This ball, high bounder, again off the lip of the grass. Again it bounds over Kodama's glove. This time he was moving to his left thinking double play. Oh, I don't know, Bo, you're going to have to get out there and trim the edge of that grass somehow. Boy, that has become a boo-boo tonight. Doesn't have to be a hit. And you can't blame Kodama for that one. Tough for Milligan. And Barrett Fasken is going to come out. He may be going ahead and getting Colby here. Now, Milligan doesn't want to come out. You can see that. He's going to just talk to him a little bit. Maybe he just wants to make sure he stays cool in this situation because, you know, he might be unhappy with the bad hop single. Kodama's had 3 balls out there that hit off the lip. They've all done different things. What are the odds of that? So with nobody out, 7-3. This is the number 7 hitter, Alex Curley. He's 0-3 tonight, a ground out to third, and 2 strikeouts. All right, back at it. Barrick's gone back in, had his talk with Milligan. Colby back to the stretch. The little right-handed batter awaits. The big lefty's fastball blew it right by him, swung and fouled it. Hey, Sack got 4 runs in the 7th. So that is good news for their, or Bill Plummer's grandson, Menez, who's pitching a beauty. And still in that game, in fact. No ball, 1 strike pitch coming now. The ump went out, and I think Schrodel might have taken one a little sore spot there. Schrodel giving the signals. The runners at first and second, nobody out. Milligan looks to second. Fastball fouled back. My guess is one of the things Barrett Fasken probably told him is, without grooving it, you know, this guy's a kid. You've got a big fastball. Put it, hit the spot with it, but don't goof around. Not to disrespect anybody. I mean, Curley hit the ball hard last night, too. But, you know, got to go with what you got. And there's an off-speed. He kind of reaches out and pops it over to Kodama. They'll get the force at short as he dropped it. But actually, that should be an infield fly. Let's see what they're going to call. It should be an infield fly. Either way, it's going to be an out. They did not call for the infield fly. So he dropped it unintentionally, but they were able to get the runner over at third. Either way, there are 2 on and 1 out. I guess it just wasn't hit high enough to be a infield fly, for the infield fly rule to be. So actually, it'll wind up being an error. Sorry, Julian. And then it would have been an error, but it is not an error. You're lucky. 6-5 on the putout. So safe at first on the fielder's choice is Curley. And over at second is Miller. Out at third was Sundstrom. And now Riley. Riley has been replaced in the game, by the way, by Anthony Friedman batting here. Friedman, the right-handed batter. one ball, one strike pitch. Runners on first and second. Fouls that one back. One and two. Obviously, you'd love to get a ground ball here. The big lefty peers in for the sign. And delivers. Breaking ball, high bouncer to third. Again, Roop goes to second for one. And that's all they're going to get. McCoy handled it well. So it's a 5-4. Runner moves over to third, Miller. Safe first on the fielder's choice. It is Anthony Friedman. So now with two outs, you have men on the corner. Still a 7-3 game. I did want to mention that between innings, last inning, McCoy had to get a bandage put on his left elbow. He's fine. It looked like he may have just scraped it on his left upper arm or elbow when he was stealing second in that inning. So Dr. Sam Carino was out there patching him up. He's back out there, obviously. No problems. Little scrape. Pitch is over for a strike to the number 9 hitter, Ash Sutter. Big lead, runner not going. Again, fastball. He chases that one. Couldn't catch up to it. 0-2. Sutter wound up an infield hit. He was eventually thrown out. Caught off base on a single left. Checks his swing. Yes, he does go for it. Strike three. So, that's strikeout number four for the big left-hander Milligan. Completes the eighth. And the Colt 45s holding that 7-3 lead. We go to the bottom half of inning number eight on KCNR.
Market volatility has become a fact of life. What does this mean for your investments? Are you aware of and prepared for the risks volatility poses to your portfolio? Should you consider changing your specific holdings or the mix of assets in your account?
Rick Hill and Rory Greek Financial Advisors, the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can give you insights about these and other questions and can also suggest strategies that may help better prepare you for the market's ups and downs.
Please call Rick Hill or Rory Greek Financial Advisors at the Redding, California branch at Rick Hill or Rory Greek at 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. Member SIPC.
Hey, North State sports fans. This is Brent Weber. I'm the host of Scorecard Scribblings from The Sports Guy. Meet Brent Weber. It's a blast. It's a chance to get some of my old friends on to chat about sports and meet some new folks, too, that can tell us what's happening out there, not just in the North State, but around the world in sports. So be sure and join us. That's Wednesday nights at 6.
You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, we have a new pitcher for the Santa Rosa Athletics. They're in the bottom of the eighth inning, moving over from his position at first base is Garrett James. And now playing first base is Jared Sundstrom. And we'll figure out who's over at third in just a minute. So James, the new pitcher, big left-hander. As mentioned yesterday, he's out of Fort Bragg High School. Boy, he's a big fella, too. Big lefty. We'll get that change for you in a minute. But Kwan was the second pitcher. So, pitchers for Santa Rosa, Cox went 4, 5 hits, 6 earned runs, 6 runs, 5 earned, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. Come on, 3 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, no strikeouts. And now your third pitcher, as I mentioned, moves over from first base, Garrett James. Sundstrom's now over at first. And as soon as I can get a look at his number, I will figure out who's at third. Oh, well, of course. Who else is it going to be? Their leadoff hitter. Guy's done a whole bunch of stuff. Max Herndon. Can that be him? Is he still behind the plate? I am about as confused as I can. No, I'm not really that confused. Yeah, it is. They've changed their catchers, too. So Herndon goes over to third. And looks like Moran's still behind the plate. Oh, let's get this all straight. Moran's back behind the plate, so they'll lose their designated hitter. All right, so there you have it. Herndon's at third. Nobody's really out of position for them. And that's, I'm sure, what would be the biggest concern. Tyler Thompson leads it off here, bottom of the eighth. Cole 45 is looking for some insurance, leading 7-3. First pitch to Tyler, laced up the middle for a hit, his third hit of the night. So after taking most of the day off last night, he's just jumped right back up on that pony, and he's riding it. So the speedster at first. Julian Kadama, the left-handed hitter at the plate. And Julian, his night started well with that double in the first. He's 1-for-3 officially, had a sac fly RBI in the third. First pitch to him's over for a strike, lefty on lefty here. And here comes an 0-1. Runner going. Changeup popped up left side. Looks like it'll be in foul territory. They argue over it, and eventually it winds up being caught by somebody over there. Three guys kind of quasi-collide. One of them comes up with the catch. And it'll be a mystery to me because I will never be able to see it. It was out of my view on the other side of the dugout. So one out, Kodama goes down, and that brings up Brandon Roop. 1-for-3, a big one. Actually, 1-for-3, and that one brought in three. That three-run homer in the third. Right-handed batter. Throw over to first. That's a pretty good arm from James over there first. He's been playing first all night. Runner not going. That's a check swing. Showed a pretty good fastball there. He's a big guy with the delivery and has kind of a, not a herky-jerky motion, but he's all arms and legs coming at you. He's at least 6'4". Looks in for the sign. Root back in there. Pretty darn good fastball hitter. Let's see what he gets. Runner going. That one's taken for a strike. Throw to second and safe with a steal is Tyler Thompson. His second steal of the night. For Tyler, that's 15 now on the season. And they have a man in scoring position for their three-hitter route. Here comes an 0-2. The lefty taking his time, working from the stretch. Now finally has a signal. Roop's ready either way. 0-2. Fastball swung on. Hit back of the box. Knocked down by the pitcher. He throws it to first to get Roop. And then the first baseman almost throws it away. Safe over at third. So Roop goes down 1-3. And Thompson is able to scoot over to third. Herndon did a good job. Herndon did a good job to not let that throw from Sundstrom get away. So now a two-outs a man at third. Tweet takes a big cut at the first pitch he sees. He was way out in front. That was an off-speed. I don't know if they were going to give big old Tanner one of those fastballs. That's what he was looking for there. If he gets one, well, let's just say the breeze is blowing a little bit. Oh, check swing. He went up the ladder. And, yeah, he went after it. Well, you can tell we have some of our law enforcement here. Our crowd mic picking up some of their calls on the radio in the grandstands. You can hear the choo-choo train in the background running through downtown Reading. 0-2 pitch. That's up and away. Tanner loves to swing that bat. He's thinking about it, that's for sure. Am I saying Tanner? Boy, Eamon Velarde, you owe me one, buddy. because this is Eamon Vilardi, right-handed batter batting, excuse me. Breaking ball, fouls it off. Eamon's a switch hitter. I lost my mind there for a brief 30 seconds. I thought Tanner's big, thick, strong. Eamon's tall. But as he told me a couple of days ago, you know, he wasn't as big as he is now. He's just not quite the imposing hitter the Tweed is. But, hey, Eamon can do it. As a 1-2 pitch coming now, fastball, foul it back. He's right on it. But he told me in high school he was a stick. You know, he didn't really start to grow until senior year, and he's put on weight in college. And he played soccer. He actually didn't really play much basketball, you'd think, for a big guy, but soccer was his favorite sport. Swung on foul of left side. So he's hanging in there, wearing James out a little bit in this at-bat. Again, a switch hitter. Most of his at-bats have been left-handed this year. He's been working on the right-handed swing. We don't have a breakdown lefty-righty, but a good at-bat to this point off of James. Let's see what he comes with here. Fastball. Blew that one by him, though. Strike three. Couldn't catch up with it. So here in the eighth, no runs. There was a hit and a man left at third, but we go to the top of the ninth. Colt 45's leading the Santa Rosa A's 7-3, and big Jeff Cross coming in to try to shut the door on the visitors. You're listening to Colt 45's Baseball on KCNR.
The Redding Rancheria Head Start program is a comprehensive preschool learning environment where everyone is respected and included.
Rancheria is really good. You know, they do a lot of stuff with the community and for the families. And especially a Head Start like this, they give 150% towards the kids. It's a really awesome program.
The alternative is planting seeds. They get more education here. So this is a great, great Head Start.
What I really like about the Head Start is they're really into their culture. They work on their language, both Wintu and Pitt River.
The Redding Rancheria is giving people an opportunity to grow, helping build this community into a stronger place. And they're very proud of their heritage.
Coming together for the kids in education, it's powerful.
The Redding Rancheria Head Start program is free to those eligible. Learn more and enroll at readingrancheria.com.
And now back to more Colt 45 Baseball on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, the new pitch for the Colt pitcher for the Colt 45s coming in to try to shut the door. Big 6'6", 235-pound right-hander Jeff Cross out of Cal State San Bernardino by way of Upland High School. Just finished his sophomore year at CSUSB, and he comes in to face Santa Rosa's top of the order. So he'll have his work cut out for him tonight. Pitched very well his last time out on the 4th of July, got his first win for the Colt 45s. He was the fourth pitcher in that game as the Colt 45s won it 16-14, but he was also the only pitcher out of five who didn't give up any runs. He went two innings, walked a couple of guys and struck somebody out, but allowed no hits or runs. So they'd like to see that same thing this time around. In Big Jeff's three appearances, just five innings, the 1-0 record and his 7.20 ERA, seven hits in those five innings. Four walks and three strikeouts. So let's see how the big right-hander fares. Leading things off. Let's see if we have a pinch hitter or not. The first pitch is up. Call the ball, 1-0. Herndon takes the second pitch. It's now 2-0. Nope, it's not a pinch hitter. It's Herndon. And he's been a big hitter tonight, 3-for-4. 2-0 fastball. That one misses away. So Jeff Cross is not comfortable at this point. Three pitches, three balls. Working with Schrodel. Here's a 3-0 pitch. Short arms it a little bit. It's over for a strike, 3-1. Jeff, the last pitcher to join the club, it was by design. and some other pitching to do. This one hit right side. Bouncer, Tweet takes it on the short hop, steps on the bag for out number one. But Jeff joining the club and has looked very good. I mean, he certainly has a strong fastball. Imposing figure out there on the hill. Very cool demeanor. Now here's Harrington. He's 1-for-4 tonight. Tough night for Harrington tonight, but all things told, you can't go 3-for-4 every night, right? Ow! That pitch from Cross was inside, way inside, hit him with a pitch. But he's okay. I know Mom was listening. He's fine. Got in the muscle in the back. I know that's not what Cross wanted to do. So now he has speed on the bases in Harrington. And Garrett James to the plate, the big left-handed hitter, who started at first. Now he's pitching. He's right in that box. He's ready to go. Another guy that's wearing glasses out there. Cross from the stretch, swung on, lined over the bag, third base side. It's in the corner for a hit. Rounding first, heading to second is James. They'll bring the runner in to score. They'll wave the runner in, and it's now a 7-4 game with a one-out double in the corner by James. He went with the pitch. You give him credit. Good piece of hitting. Hit the ball hard. So Harrington scores, and Jason Moran now comes to the plate. He can change your night in a hurry. We know he has power. We saw it last night. He's 1-for-3 tonight. Sundstrom's on deck. This one, or as actually his position is on deck. Looks like he might have. We'll just have to wait and see. It is very dark in some of these areas, folks, so sometimes it is hard to tell what the player is out there. All right, here we go. No ball, one strike count. Moran takes that one inside, 1-1. Not sure Cross is comfortable out there yet. This is based on his body language. Haven't seen him pitch that many times, but is just trying to get comfortable in his jersey, moving his arms. Now he's fine. He seems to have settled down from the stretch. Brings the ball to his glove at his waist at the belt and delivers a fastball up 2-1. You just want outs. You don't care about that guy at second right now. 2-1 delivery. Cross looks to second, though, of course. Kicks and delivers. Fastball popped right side. It'll be out of play. Tweet's giving it a look, but nothing doing. 2-2. Activity out in the pen. And it actually might be Nick Horsley loosening up. We've seen him pitch in relief. And he throws hard. I mean, hard. 2-2. Here's the pitch. Off-speed swung on, missed. He struck him out. That's two down. And it brings up Sundstrom. And Sundstrom tonight struck out in the second, was hit by a pitch, eventually scored in the fourth, and doubled in the fifth. He was stranded out there, walked, and was forced out on the bases in the eighth. First pitch from Cross to him is a fastball a little low, 1-0. This isn't a save situation. You really got to tip the cap to this point if they can hold on to the relief job done by the big guy, the other big guy pitching tonight, Colby Milligan. Here comes a 1-0 pitch. Looks to second, now delivers. Swan fouled off right side. 1-1 the count. Again, a very comfortable night out at the ballpark tonight. Even though we didn't have that breeze later, there was a little cloud cover to the sunset side, and that just made life just grand. We had a breeze earlier. Just as I say that, a nice little breeze picks up. It was very comfortable. Hopefully we'll get the same thing tomorrow night. Take your heat during the day and we'll just cool off tomorrow night. 1-1, that was high and tight. 2-1. We appreciate. We know there are some fans down in the Santa Rosa or fans of the Athletics who've been listening. We appreciate you tuning in to us. We will be broadcasting tomorrow night as well. Swung on. Bounce towards second. McCoy bobbles it for a moment. Makes the throw, though, to first for out number three. So they do get a run in the ninth. They do have a hit, but they leave a man on base, and that's your final. Colt 45 win this one tonight, their third straight, and this one a little less drama than we had the last couple of nights. For the Colt 45, 7 runs, 9 hits, 2 errors, and they left 9 men on base. For the Santa Rosa Athletics, 4 runs, 9 hits, 4 errors, and they left 11 men on base. Your winning pitcher for the Colt 45s will be Jacob Marquez, and he pitched extremely well in his start. That's good for Jacob, and that improves his record now to 3-3 on the season. We'll be back to recap this game, look ahead, and bring you some more scores as well as our post-game show is straight ahead. That's your final for now, though. More baseball coming up here in just a moment. Summer Collegiate Baseball on KCNR.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Colt 45's baseball comes your way exclusively on KCNR Shasta Reading.
We'll get to some other scores for you in just a moment, but let's recap right now. The scoring in this one is the Colt 45s win their third straight game. It was scoreless. Jacob Marquez pitching very well. In fact, they had a little pitcher's duel. He and Nate Cox. Cox would eventually get the loss, and Marquez gets the win. First runs came in the third. Colt 45s actually got a break when Kyle Schrodel reached on a misplayed third strike, and that started the action. Andy Bayena was hit with a pitch and an infield hit by Thompson. Kodama, a sack fly, brought in a run, and then Brendan Roof made it real, a three-run home run that gave them 4 runs in that frame. Marquez gave up a couple of runs in the top of the fourth, a leadoff single. He hit a batter, and with 2 outs, Riley delivered a 2-run single, but that was all they would get at that point off of Marquez. They would get another run off of him in the fifth, after the Colt 45s had scored in the bottom of the fourth, thanks in part to a big error by their right fielder. Then in the top of the fifth, they got that run, the last run that they got off of Jacob Marquez, a leadoff single by Harrington, who eventually scored on an infield out by Jason Moran. They added a run in the ninth, but terrific pitching in the interim by the big left-hander Colby Milligan, who came in after Marquez's five solid innings. Colt 45's added that run in the bottom of the fifth I mentioned, and then they added a run in the bottom of the seventh on an RBI single by Machuca up the middle. Didn't need any more than that, because all the A's could scratch out was one more run in the top of the ninth on an RBI double by Garrett James, and that gives us our 7-4 final score. Your winning pitcher, as I mentioned, Marquez, went five innings, six hits, three earned runs, a walk, and five strikeouts. Milligan pitched extremely well, but since he didn't finish the game, he won't get a save. Three innings, two hits, no earned runs, no runs at all, a walk, and four strikeouts. And Cross, one inning, a run, a hit, an RBI, and a strikeout. For the Santa Rosa Athletics, Cox started. He'll be tagged with the loss. Four innings, five hits, six runs, five earned, three walks, three strikeouts. Tagged with a loss because it was a lead that they never relinquished, that he gave up. Clemon went three innings, three hits, and did allow an earned run. James, the one inning that he pitched, he gave up a hit and struck out one. Let's check out some other scores now around baseball. And here's a cool one as a terrific start, best start of his AAA career now for Bill Plummer's grandson, pitching for Sacramento, and they're in Reno. Pitched extremely well tonight. You know I'm going to give you all that information. Right now, their game's not over yet. It's in the eighth inning. Sac is up 5-0. But the big guy, Connor Scott Menez out of Hollister in the Masters College, making another start at AAA. This is, I believe, his fifth start, and I have to say this is his best. I haven't looked at all of them, but extremely good results tonight. He went six innings, scattered three hits, no runs, three walks, and eight strikeouts, and he left with that shutout intact. It's not over yet, but a good performance for him tonight. Elsewhere, Major League Baseball, let's check some of those West Coast scores that we didn't have for you. Updating from San Francisco, Giants now up 8-4. We mentioned earlier Slater hit his first career grand slam. Padres leading the Dodgers 3-1. Maeda, they finally got a little more off of him, I guess, since that's now in the bottom of the ninth, so you know how the Dodgers are. It's never over till it's over. And in Seattle, that one is the final now. The Mariners beat the Athletics by a 6-3 final tally. Gonzalez gets his 10th win of the season. A couple of games still going on. We gave you finals earlier on all the other games, but the ones that are still going on. Diamondbacks now on top of the Rockies. That one's 4-2. Top of the 8th inning. Lamb hit his first home run of the season. And we mentioned Padres-Dodgers. So the rest you should be all caught up on, and we had finals for all of them a little bit earlier. So that pretty much takes care of all the baseball scores for you. Well, here it was good news. 7-4 the final. Same two teams will go at it again tomorrow. Game three of this three-game set. Colt 45 is looking for a sweep Sunday night. First pitch comes your way at 6:15 from Tiger Field. And if you can't make it out to the field, wherever you are, we appreciate you tuning in. Our pregame show will start at 6 o'clock. We'll have a pregame interview and more. That'll be coming your way tomorrow night on KCNR-FM, 96.5 and 1460 AM. And, of course, we're streaming on the web, where many of you find us by just clicking on the homepage for RedandColt45s.com and then scrolling down to the listen button, where you can snag yourself a nice spot on the KCNR website and listen to the game. I certainly appreciate you tuning in tonight to the third straight win for the Colt 45s. For our producer, Jared King, job well done back in the studio. Thank you for joining us out there in baseball land. The flag hopefully will be flying again tomorrow night. Your Colt 45s, great thing about baseball, man, you get to put a streak together. Three wins in a row, winning this one by the 7-4 final tally. Next game tomorrow night. For now, I'm Brent Weber, thanking you for joining us, saying so long. It's a win, a W from Tiger Field.
Family, but being born without a father. I'm on the wrong side of the law, and then I was born, and I stand strong inside of it.
The district attorney's office and I personally and the Los Angeles Police Department are all exceedingly happy with this verdict. We expected the verdict, but until that clerk reads the verdict, you never know.
I think the public's reaction has been, we did need to know this information. We had a right to know it.
Jim was buried in a simple ceremony with only a few friends present, because those of us who knew him intimately wanted to avoid all the notoriety and circus-like atmosphere that surrounded the deaths of such other rock personalities.
I'd just like to say before we start off with the concert that to thank you all for coming here.
Peace out!
News as it happened. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. At least one building was occupied when an explosion ripped through a shopping plaza in Plantation, Florida, Saturday morning.
Nobody was killed. Thank goodness for that. This could have, as bad as it is, it could have been a lot worse. Because, like I said, the LA Fitness was occupied, so it could have been tremendously worse. But again, we're still searching. We're still looking. And everything at this point is tentative.
Fire Battalion Chief Joel Gordon tells WPLG they found ruptured gas lines, but they're not saying if that was the cause of the blast. Two major earthquakes in Southern California, both bigger than any in the last two decades.
Seismologists have been warning the public that after Thursday's 6.4 quake, more could be on the way. Caltech's Lucy Jones says they study what has happened and try to predict what's ahead.
Does this make the big one more likely? Does this make the big one less likely? What aftershocks are we going to have?
The Red Cross says some people are so rattled by the shaking that they feel safer sleeping outdoors in tents, despite the high heat. Crews have been assessing the damage to a hospital and roadways in Ridgecrest, California. Now there are more locales that will have to be inspected for major structural damage. I'm Jackie Quinn.
A number of Democrat presidential hopefuls in New Orleans looking for votes at the Essence Festival. Senator Kamala Harris says she's making a series of proposals aimed at narrowing the racial wealth gap.
I'll invest through the federal government $100 billion to put home ownership within the reach for those who live in redlined communities.
Meanwhile, South Carolina former Vice President Joe Biden says he's worked to advance civil rights.
I'm going to let my record and my character stand for itself and not be distorted or smeared.
More news and analysis at townhall.com.
Maybe you'd like to know what exactly Relief Factor is. It was created by doctors. It's a 100% drug-free supplement with four key ingredients that simply help your own body deal with the natural inflammatory response that it has. It's easy to swallow, four little capsules in each packet, like the packet that I carry with me at all times. Three packets a day for a week, then two packets a day for 2 weeks, and I have just described the three-week quick start. And you will know in 3 weeks, that's the beauty of it, whether it works. They don't drag you on. That costs just $19.95. There's a very good chance that a very serious percentage of my listeners suffer from some sort of muscular or joint pain. You should try this for $19.95. That's all you can lose. If it works, they will send it to you automatically. If it doesn't work, tell them not to send any shipments. And it's as simple as that. It is all at ReliefFactor.com. I've been using it for years now. ReliefFactor.com.
An outdoor smoking ban in Sweden in certain public places, including playgrounds and train station platforms, has now taken effect.
The ban means smoking in outdoor sections of restaurants and entrances to designated booths for smokers is prohibited. The ban also includes e-cigarettes. Official figures show only 11% of the Swedish population of 10 million smoked daily in 2016, with about 10% smoking occasionally. According to the new law, the goal is to make the Scandinavian country smoke-free by 2025.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting, in May 2005, Sweden banned smoking in bars and restaurants. Voters in Maryland no longer will be required to identify themselves as male or female when they register to vote. Maryland State Board of Elections will soon allow voters to choose X or unspecified as a gender when they fill out voter registration options. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Police in East Texas say a teenager from San Antonio is suspected of taking a tub of ice cream from a Walmart freezer, removing the top to lick the ice cream, then returning the ice cream tub to the freezer.
Bluebell Creamery said in a statement that it determined a Walmart store in Lufkin was where the malicious act of food tampering took place. A short video posted to social media last week shows the teen girl laughing as she places the top back on the half-gallon container and returning it to the freezer. Bluebell says the container that was compromised was found and removed. Nobody says food tampering is not a joke. Lufkin police said Friday that they don't intend to charge the teen girl. Patrick Frost reporting.
President Trump said there was a very interesting problem that forced Vice President Pence to cancel an appearance in New Hampshire last week. White House officials aren't saying why, but they're ruling out a national security or family health issue. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. It's going to be a big hour, closing out, getting closer and closer to the 4th of July. Jonah Goldberg is just getting out of the shower. He'll be with us shortly. And Ron Swoboda, longtime star of the Mets, 69, Mets 50 years since they won that magical title. The miracle that was, and he was a Yankee for a while. He's going to be here. He's also an outstanding broadcaster himself. So Ron Swoboda is going to be here. He's got a book out, too. It's called Here's the Catch, a memoir of the Miracle Mets and more. So let's get, before we go any further, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
This is what we were afraid of, that it's not just looking rusty, but it's going into this debate making a mistake that no rookie would, and that is not being prepared, not having an offensive strategy, not being ready for some obvious hits that were coming.
Mike Allen of Axios, 100% right. Another poll, another slice from Joe Biden's big lead. It's an overcrowded Democratic field. I get it. Mayor Pete rakes in the big bucks. Harris builds off her debate performance. But don't look now. Look who's setting more fundraising records. Donald J. Trump.
Number two.
I think it's a money-making scheme. Instead of them processing the children out, they're processing children in so that they can use government money to expand this facility.
Put Frederica Wilson down, Congresswoman from Florida, as the poster child for incompetence. Hijacked. That's what Democrats are efforting to do with the crisis at the border. They're saying they're addressing it alone and pointing fingers at Trump and the Border Patrol. Nice try. Our cameras reporting in interviews, even a shocking 60 Minutes piece, unveiled this very problem months ago. And what has Congress done? Actually protested the company that they were buying beds from for additional facilities and provided no humanitarian aid until last week. And that is a tragedy.
Number one.
So what, besides our economy and military, are we actually number one in? Turns out, a lot of things. Civilian gun ownership, mass shootings, prison population. Oh, and almost number one on environmental damage, edged out by China.
Yeah, that is great, and that's the New York Times. Patriotism on the eve of the nation's 243rd birthday is getting harder to find, as less than half Americans say they're extremely proud to be an American.
What is going on here? This is Nike tries to explain away for the second day why they pulled back their Air Max 1 with a Betsy Ross era flag on the heel, which is unexplainable. While at the same time we hear Charlottesville has officially ended the celebration of Thomas Jefferson's birthday. Really? The creator of the University of Virginia, the location of Monticello, the writer of the Declaration of Independence, and we can't recognize his birthday? Slowly but surely trying to tear apart our history. And I have news for you guys, it's working. 45% are extremely proud of the country. All this stuff is happening. And when President Trump came out about a year and a half ago and said, what's next? George Washington? People are going to take him apart because he owned slaves? Sadly, that was part of the era back then, not just in this country, but around the world. And the arrogance of this generation decides if you can't live up to the standards of 2019, you don't deserve a birthday celebration, you don't deserve a library, you don't deserve recognition. Just maybe in a big apology, perhaps. We'll see. So, let's begin on what makes this country great. We thought a lot of things. But not really if you're the New York Times, a emerging anti-American paper, cut six.
So what, besides our economy and military, are we actually number one in? Turns out, a lot of things. Civilian gun ownership, mass shootings, TV watching, prescription drug abuse, prison population. Oh, and almost number one on environmental damage, edged out by China.
Yep. Joining us now, Jonah Goldberg, number one in my book. Jonah, do you feel like we're living in this terrible country?
No, of course not. It's all, I mean, something to keep in mind is some of this stuff is just a craven, you know, these people who are like denigrating America, saying America's evil and capitalistic and bad, they're capitalists because what they're doing is that this is all clickbait nonsense, the drive traffic. You get this dopamine hit in people's brains by saying terrible things about stuff that people love, and that gets people to hate click on stuff. And the New York Times is doing that, and it's kind of ironic because one of the things they hate about, you know, they really dislike about America is that it's capitalistic, and yet they're sort of modeling some of the worst forms of capitalist behavior.
Jonah, I wish you were right. I actually think that they do dislike the country. I do think there's a big sentiment in this country that they feel as though we're looking around and are not satisfied with our history or with our present. I wish it was clickbait. I just think it's more.
Oh, no, I agree with you. It's more because there are people who agree with that stuff who want to click on it, too. And, you know, this is something I wrote about a lot in my book. I mean, part of the problem – remember the movie Goldfinger, right?
Yeah.
The James Bond movie. In that movie, the evil villain named Goldfinger – you think he's going to rob Fort Knox, and it turns out that's not what he wants to do. What he really wants to do is use a dirty bomb to irradiate all of the gold in Fort Knox, which will make it unusable on the marketplace. That now, and so that would make gold much more scarce, and his existing stockpile will be much more valuable. That's what these people want to do to American history. They want to take all of the gold of American history and irradiate it and make it toxic so that no one can use it. So the only thing you can know about George Washington or Thomas Jefferson is that they had slaves. The only thing that you can know about the American founding is that it had slavery. The only thing you can know about America in the 19th century is that it was rough on Chinese immigrants and women. And what it wants to do is create a usable past that is only the bad stuff, that is only the terrible stories, and make it sound as if we've never gotten better. And that's the only thing that defined us. And it's a grotesque thing. It's what they teach in grade schools. It's what they teach in colleges. Is that, you know, it's the way Howard Zinn teaches history is that it is purely through the eyes of the victims. And that the story of America is one of oppression and cruelty and slavery. And those sins never get smaller in the rearview mirror, no matter how much farther away we get from them.
So where do you think, Jonah, in 15, 20 years from now, do you think this is going to get worse? Or do you think people are going to get – Americans going to get a wake-up call?
You know, I have to be a little bit optimistic. In some ways, I kind of feel like – you remember when the Cathedral Notre Dame was on fire?
Yep.
And all of these French people, you know, they had a horrible time raising money to maintain it and upkeep it. And then all of a sudden, when people were threatened with the possibility of losing it, there was this incredible outpouring of support and fundraising to save it. And I kind of have to hope that at some point people realize that, you know, they have a lot to be grateful for to be Americans, and that we have, the world has a lot to be grateful for. The piece in the Times talks about all these other countries that have democracy and all these kind of things. Well, why do you think they have democracy? It's because, you know, it's because of the frickin' Seventh Fleet and NATO and, you know, an American force for good around the world. And I think that gratitude has to be taught, and gratitude is essential to patriotism. But I got to hope that at the end of the day or the end of two decades, there'll be a bit of a restoration where people will come to their senses. But the only way to guarantee that doesn't happen is for people like you and me and the listeners to turn their backs on patriotism and the right arguments for this country.
I hear you. Jonah Goldberg's here. We're going to find out about his new venture. At least I'm going to ask him, and maybe he'll tell me. He's working with Steve Hayes. But at the very least, we know they're going to have a great time forming it. I got to ask you a quick question about this Nike move. The Air Max 1 is a shoe that came out 15 years ago. So in a retro move that they always do, and it's usually successful, they want to put a Betsy Ross flag on the heel, and they already have it out in most stores. Then Colin Kaepernick reportedly picked up the phone and said, a lot of white supremacist groups are using it. I don't love seeing the 13 stars. It reminds me of slavery. So Nike says, okay, we'll pull it back. What's your reaction?
Oh, it's incandescently stupid. You know, look, I mean, if I see the pyramids, it reminds me of slavery because, you know, people think that, you know, it's because slaves built it. I mean, just because something reminds you of slavery doesn't mean it's about slavery and doesn't mean that your, you know, your hurt feelings should govern everything. It is kind of funny. You know, you hear all these left-wing people talk about how these evil multinational corporations only care about their bottom line, and it turns out that this one only cares about Colin Kaepernick's opinion and the opinion of the Chinese Communist Party. I think that we're in a place these days where this corporate drive to be virtue signaling and to go with, you know, the social media mob or the leaders of social media mobs, which is basically what Colin Kaepernick is just so stupid. These guys, there's a point you reach where you can have such an open mind your brain falls out. And I think that's sort of where we are on this. And I think the backlash is something that I hope other companies realize that being lemmings for people like Colin Kaepernick is not a great business strategy.
But the problem is when you rolled out that ad that only aired a couple of times and that made Colin Kaepernick a hero and put him in the Muhammad Ali threshold and put him with other great African-Americans in the past, Nike stock ended up going up. So they might have learned the wrong lesson from that.
No, I think that's probably true. And, you know, and the backlash about, I mean, it's also funny, like, the Betsy Ross flag sneakers now are, like, selling on eBay or wherever, you know, wherever you can find 2000. Them, like hotcakes.
Right. So, one of the things, Jonah, that you usually bring up and put into a perspective is using an analogy. And they say, if this is true and they're using that 13th, the Betsy Ross flag for white supremacist organizations, there's nothing they can do about it. And if they use the Nike swoosh for a hate group, does Nike stop using the swoosh? I mean, the Raiders jerseys are used by gang members. Did the Raiders stop wearing them? We can't control if someone wears a Fox emblem on his arm and does something terrible and other people will do the same thing. I'm not going to stop, and I don't think this company's going to stop with the Fox logo.
Yeah, well, look, also, the fact that the idea that this is a widespread and commonly known thing, that the Betsy Ross flag is being used by a handful of peckerwoods in their basements as they, you know, they cut holes in their pillowcases, is nonsense. No one knew this. I follow this kind of stuff very closely. I didn't know this. On Special Report last night, they had some expert on who, you know, clearly is sympathetic to Kaepernick's position, but had to concede most people don't. You know, most people have no clue that this is being used as a symbol. And at some point, you know, what would have been the best way to take away the power of the white supremacist guys from using that as a symbol is to put it on the back of a sneaker, right? You take away, you know, if all of a sudden it's a way to sort of detoxify what these guys are trying to do. It's not a huge victory. The huge victory for the white supremacists is that they pulled the sneaker because that shows they have this amazing cultural power to trigger people. It should have been, you know, it should have been like Godzilla versus Bambi. Oh, look, the white supremacists think this is their symbol. Wrong. It's America's symbol, and we're going to use it on our sneakers. It's just so stupid.
The other thing is so stupid is for the last few months, on. So almost every time you've come on or other people come on, we've talked about illegal immigration. And we've heard for the longest time the president had a manufactured crisis. And then he caused the crisis, 690,000 here illegally already this year. And now all of a sudden, Democrats are waking up to the fact that there is an overcrowding at our border and vilifying the Border Patrol and President Trump. Cut 21, AOC.
There's abuse in these facilities. There's abuse. This was them on their best behavior, and they put them in a room with no running water. And these women were being told by CBP officers to drink out of the toilet. They were drinking water out of the toilet.
And now she doesn't know that. She was told anecdotally that. She also said she felt physically threatened by a Border Patrol agent and their presence. And they're describing things at 60 Minutes. Forget about that I was there. 60 Minutes was there 2 weeks before I was there. And they show this exact overcrowding, the exasperation of Border Patrol. But now the Border Patrol is suddenly evil, and Donald Trump is behind it. I've never seen such a issue hijacked like this.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating to me. What I think is amazing is how many media outlets are using images from the Obama administration,
yeah,
and saying, isn't this outrageous what Donald Trump is doing? That alone should just sort of tell you that this is a complicated problem that is not all about Donald Trump. And when it comes to AOC, look, I mean, it's kind of uncivil to talk this way. I just think she's lying. You know, I honestly do not believe her when she says that people told her that they're drinking out of toilets. And even if someone did tell her that they were drinking out of toilets, that's hearsay. That's not evidence. You know, look, if I were stuck in a refugee camp and I really, really, really wanted to get out for totally human and natural reasons, I might tell visiting dignitaries all sorts of things to help me get out. There's no evidence to back her up on this stuff. And so, look, I don't like the situation down at the border. I think it's terrible. I don't think it's Donald Trump's fault. I think it's a failure of policy going back decades. But the way people talk about this stuff, it makes it sound like the U.S. government is rounding people up and putting them in camps as if the trucks are driving through, you know, Guatemala to get them. These people are coming here. And if we're going to have a rule of law, it means we got to figure out something to do with them. I wish we had more money to help them out. I wish we had more money to do this in a humane way.
Right.
But it's the problem is larger than Trump.
It is. And, Jonah, real quick, because I went real long because you're so fascinating. You and Steve Hayes are doing something together. What is it going to be? What can you tell us?
Well, it is not the Lamada, the Forbidden Dance. We're building a new media company. Haven't announced the name yet. Steve is finally coming back from his year-long exile in Spain this month, and it's going to be new and exciting. I mean, it's a great moment for me. I love my 21 years at National Review. I wouldn't give a day away of it. I love those guys. They're some of my best friends in the world, but I really wanted to start something new and interesting, and I think there's a real opening in terms of right of center media to do something different, and that's what we're going to try and do.
All right, I'll look forward to hearing more when you can say something directly, and we'll get Steve Hayes back from Europe once
Fair
and for
enough.
All, and we'll see if he does in fact shave. Jonah Goldberg and Steve Hayes will be together. We just don't know doing what, except for the Lombada is now out. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
All right, 1-866-408-7669. Hey, I'm going to come back and take your calls. Ron Swoboda from the 69 Mets, same guy, has a brand new book out. Tell you the inside story of that miracle team. Back in a moment.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Ever wonder why Europeans speak so many languages? It's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons and award-winning technology can have you speaking Spanish, French, or German within weeks. Just go to Babbel.com.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Go to Babbel.com to select your language. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Or download the app to try for free.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-735-8360. That's 800-735-8360. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-735-8360.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Aaron Copland, who died in 1990, was an American composer of concert and film music who touched the heart of America and merged the classics with the truly American art form of jazz. As music trends were changing with the advent of rock and pop music in the 50s and 60s, Copland was open and excited about where music was headed.
If we thought that music should have flow, a kind of naturalness of flow, the younger people may think they should be just the opposite. It should be discontinuous, and it has too much flow, and that the flow is too same-like, etc., etc. So that every possible principle that I might name to you, they can give you the very opposite idea as a possibility. I think it's more revolutionary now, and therefore more difficult for the young people to find themselves.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
A talk show that's real.
This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
it's sad to see. She's getting bolder with her lies on this. And this is what's actually happening. And this is what the American people need to understand. People like AOC are operating off of a false premise, and it's deliberately designed to misinform the American people for her own political ends, right? Remember, first there was no crisis at all, okay? Then it was a manufactured crisis. Then it was a crisis completely created by Trump. Then there were concentration camps. Then people are Nazis. Now she's saying that Border Patrol agents harassed her and forced migrants to drink out of toilets. This is insanity.
And it is. And she is the spokesperson for the left. And there's a big story today how Nancy Pelosi has basically lost all the power. We know the deal that was cut to give $4.6 billion worth of aid to the border facilities. That was Nancy Pelosi doing a deal with Chuck Schumer, and to the defiance of her left wing, 98 of which voted against humanitarian aid that would have helped the situation that they're all decrying right now. Meanwhile, Cory Booker has an answer for it. He wants no detainment facilities at all. I mean, how unbelievable and unacceptable is that? And then you have people like Julian Castro running for president who says, I don't even think there should be a crime for coming into the country illegal. The country's going to have a stark choice on their number one issue, immigration. It's now number one. Who do you want? Someone to control the border or someone who wants absolutely no control of the border? Brian Kilmeade Show, back with your calls in just a moment.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Kunduk for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit PVA.org.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
He was a boy from Oklahoma who captured the hearts of Yankee fans the world over from 1951 to 1968 and helped win 7 World Series titles. On March 1st, 1969, Mickey Mantle announced his retirement from baseball.
To think that the Yankees are retiring my number 7 with numbers 3, 4, and 5 tops off everything that I could ever wish for. I've often wondered how a man who knew he was going to die could stand here and say that he was the luckiest man in the world. But now I think I know how Lou Gehrig felt. It's been a great honor. I'll never forget it. God bless you all, and thank you very much.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
The hospital staff that helped students from Pennsylvania go to prom makes today's Dean's List. Governor Mifflin High School students Sean Bachman and Isabella Santisteban both got into a car crash in February while they were on their first date to get ice cream. They were both taken to Reading Hospital with major health issues. Isabella was discharged before Sean, but she came back to the hospital to visit him every day. The nurses came up with a great idea. They photographed an x-ray of Sean's ribs and put it on a poster board with the words, "I have broken ribs. Don't leave me with a broken heart. Will you go to prom with me?" When Isabella came back to check on her friend, he was holding the poster. The hospital staff also pitched in to rent a limo for the couple's big night. Both students are incredibly grateful and say they can't thank them enough for all they did for us, both in the hospital and for the prom. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Radio show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Too offensive to put on a pair of shoes. So if we're in a political environment where the American flag has become controversial to Americans, I think we got a problem. I hope Nike either releases these shoes or some other shoemaker picks up the flag, puts it on a pair of shoes, and starts selling it. I'll make the first order.
That would be Mitch McConnell. I'm surprised, too. He's in Kentucky, a very wide shot in front of a huge cornfield, and he's talking about Nike. He doesn't usually get involved in things like this. When he's out, he's out. He doesn't really get involved in the culture part of this if it doesn't have anything to do with legislation. But this time it really bothers him. And that's why he's sounding off about Nike. And he's saying, listen, New Balance, aren't you made here? Why not jump on that? Adidas, you're a German company, but I think you have a huge market in America. Why not jump on that? Burgess Owens joined us. He was an outstanding athlete, played for the Raiders and Jets, won a Super Bowl. He was on with Laura last night and talked about this whole sense that Kaepernick has, that those weren't good times for black Americans. Cut 10.
And this is what we have to recognize. We truly are. We're fighting for the heart and soul of our country. And Kaepernick is nothing but a tool. It's a tool for the Marxists that sit on the boards of Nike, that in essence are, this is what we're fighting against. We're dealing with an organizations that are global organizations that can care less about our American way, and they do everything they can to demean and steal the faith and the love of our country from our kids by giving these messages that actually just divide us more than anything else. So no, I don't buy that Kaepernick has the power to do this. This is something that these guys have been thinking about for months. And they pull it at a time where it impacts the most our time for a celebration for our country.
And he's somebody who speaks out about race issues a lot, a very motivational speaker, outstanding athlete, and wrote a few books about this. And he became a conservative later in his life. What really bothers me more than the Nike situation, because ultimately they're going to decide what's best for their company. I think they made a mistake, and hopefully the American people make them pay for that mistake. But what bothers me more is a poll that came out. American pride has hit a new low. Few proud of political system. In fact, Gallup has done a poll as Americans prepare to celebrate the 4th of July. Their pride was pretty strong in 2002. 70% of U.S. adults overall say they are proud to be Americans. That includes now. That number is, by the way, out of the 70% proud, 45% extremely proud. Now, only 42% are extremely proud. Think about that. You talk about a reversal. Think about that. Are you one of them? Are you the one so disappointed in the country you're in, this one, that you're now lost that pride of the country? So you walk around. They used to say Americans were arrogant. They think they're the center of the world. They think that everybody wants to be them. That was the rap on us when we traveled overseas. Now, we don't even like ourselves. That's no longer even the issue. You got to come out, and our number one of our top companies in the country is afraid to put the original American flag on one of its shoes because they're afraid of a backlash. That, to me, is pathetic. A.B. Stoddard, who comes on all our shows all this time, but comes on a lot, very critical a lot of times. She tries to play a fair and balanced, but very critical in the past of people who use patriotism maybe for political means, not in this case, but also very critical of the president at times. Cut 12.
I think it's a huge mistake on Nike's part, and it's a shame. And they took something, they could have taken Kaepernick's statements and said, put out some kind of a tweet or a statement saying we understand what he says, but they have now officially appropriated the Betsy Ross flag to the KKK, which has never been a long-standing symbol of any known white nationalist group. And instead of saying, let's all buy these shoes and take back the Betsy Ross flag and let's all come together, they've retreated and offended a lot of people at a time when we need to come together. I think it's just a crying shame.
Yeah, I don't get offended, but I think it's outrageous. Kevin, on Long Island. Hey, Kevin. Kevin, you're on the Brian Kilmeade Show. All right, Joan, listening on WDBQ in Dubuque, Iowa. Hey, Joan.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Great. What's on your mind?
Well, I was really upset with Nike. But I'm a huge fan of Converse. I have 15 or 16 pair, and I didn't know what to do. I hated to throw them away. So I went out last night, and I bought American flag appliques, and I'm putting them on every pair I own.
All right. Good job. So make your own shoe.
I am. I'm going to wear them with pride. I will not buy any more from them, but I will take what I have and put my flags on.
Hey, Joan, why doesn't New Balance do something? Why don't they roll it out right away? Get it out by this weekend. They'll sell a ton of people like you who are offended.
That would be fantastic. I love New Balance.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 1-866-408-7669. That was just some of the outrageous comments. There is some more. This is Bob Woodson. He was on with Tucker Carlson. He has a different view. He's a civil rights activist. Cut 11.
He's denigrating a symbol that is very important to many African Americans, and he's denigrating this country. Black Americans fought in every war in this country. And they That's fought right. bravely because they fought for the promise that was America. But they were also where America had a problem. The problem was slavery and discrimination and racism. But what held right. them together and caused because they defended because America was promised was outweighed the problems and it was self-correcting. We had a system to self-correct. He really does, Kaepernick does a tremendous disservice to this country.
Yeah, I agree. I thoroughly agree. But listen, I was wrong. I didn't like the Nike ad. It was well edited, but I just hated the theme of the Nike ad. And Nike stock, I think, initially dropped, but by the end of the day, it was positively looked at. And so I still held to, I'm not for making Kaepernick a hero. He's a backup quarterback that had his moment and at 31 still could have more, but chose not to. Allison, you know, what are people saying on Facebook when we talked about this morning?
Regarding this, Doug said, I think the president is acting most presidential these past few months. I'm proud of him and of our independence. I'm proud of what he's trying to do for America worldwide.
And he's also talking about what he's referring to, too, is the president's parade. He's bringing the tanks. He's bringing the B-1 bombers. He's bringing the Blue Angels. And they got to have a massive display. There's going to need to be a lot of coordination. I'm not sure they have it. You know, evidently, one story had our tanks could not, well, we weren't going to go through the streets because they tear up the streets. So they put them on flatbeds. But when they got to the flatbeds and the tunnels, they were too big. So evidently, they came with a crane and were lifting the tanks over the tunnels and then putting them on the flatbed on the other side. I mean, this is unbelievable. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but it better be worth it.
Let's hope it's worth it indeed.
All right. Frank, listening on Long Island, 103.9. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Brian, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all you do on Fox and Friend and the Brian Kilmeade Show. It's fantastic. I guess you're more patriotic than anybody that I hear so far. I think what Nike did is pretty disgusting. It's unconscionable. I'm an immigrant, came from Italy in 1999, became an American citizen in 2005, and I cannot be no more proud to be in this country. I think what this country what offers is a great, fantastic, and no other country in the world that can give you.
Yeah, so it's a shame. People don't appreciate it, Frank. If you're born here and this is all you know, for some reason you don't appreciate what you have.
Exactly, and then what Nike did, I think they're gonna pay the price in the future. Because me, I always liked the Nike. I would never buy Nike ever again. And for me, I think it's unconscionable what they do. And what the people are saying and do, and it's amazing. So, you know, before you say something as an American, you should be bright, wear their flag, and do whatever you have to do to make this country proud, because I think it's the best country in the world.
Go get him, Frank. Thanks. Very uplifting. He's set to celebrate the 4th of July. 1-866-408-7669, the number to call, so stay on board. When we come back, going to be joined by an integral member of the 1969 Mets who made one of the greatest catches of all time, Ron Swoboda, live in studio. Brian Kilmeade Show.
A radio show of the people for the people. You're with Brian Kilmeade. If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to 4hims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/doctor. That's 4hims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. 4hims.com/doctor.
Ever wanted to speak another language? Babbel can get you confidently speaking Spanish, French, or German within weeks. Go to Babbel.com now.
I just started learning Spanish with Babbel, and it's really helping my pronunciation.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas? Got it! I wish I'd gone to Babbel.com sooner.
See why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language. For a limited time, try Babbel for as low as $3.50 a month and get a whole year of unlimited access. Go to Babbel.com now and select your language. Babbel.com.
Market volatility has become a fact of life. What does this mean for your investments? Are you aware of and prepared for the risks volatility poses to your portfolio? Should you consider changing your specific holdings or the mix of assets in your account?
Rick Hill and Rory Greek Financial Advisors, the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can give you insights about these and other questions and can also suggest strategies that may help better prepare you for the market's ups and downs.
Please call Rick Hill or Rory Greek Financial Advisors at the Redding, California branch at Rick Hill or Rory Greek at 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
One down. Fly ball could tie it up for the Orioles. Robinson has not had the ball out of the infield. Grounded to short, fouled out, grounded to third. Straight away for him in the outfield. And there's a drive to right center. Swoboda comes up with it to tie the third. Here comes Frank Robinson. The game is tied. Ron Swoboda making another sensational catch for the Mets. And here's a grab. Look at that, Lindsay.
Beautiful catch by Ron Swoboda.
There you go. Ron Swoboda with the catch. I remember he had others. That was in Game 4, diving, game-saving grab in right center. The Mazins won Game 4. We're talking 1969, 50 years ago in 10 innings. Ron Swoboda in studio. He's got a brand-new book out called Here's the Catch, a memoir of the Miracle Mets and more. Ron, what are your thoughts as you heard that?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I've revisited that catch this whole week. And yeah, I live in New Orleans, you know. I don't walk down the street people going, hey, nice catch, you know. I come to New York and you're celebrating 50 years. Yeah, it's been the topic, and I've loved every minute of it. It, you know, my guys, we came back and they brought the team back, as many guys as they could get, into Citi Field, and we had a beautiful day on Saturday. And Tom Seaver's 41 Seaver Way, I was there for the dedication outside Citi. So I'm sort of enjoying all of this to the max.
So you beat the Orioles, who are the juggernaut of the generation.
Yeah.
I mean, they had one great player after another. It was a time in which there was no free agency, so players stuck together.
Yes.
You know, you saw that infield stay together, Brooks Robinson and company, and Jim Palmer. But did you think when you guys won the World Series in 69, this is going to be generational? No one's going to forget this.
I kind of thought we'd have a little bit of a run. We didn't defend it in 70. The Orioles won the World Series in 70. We were probably a pretty good motivator for them after everything that happened to them in the World Series. But I thought with Seaver, Kuzman, Ryan, Gentry, McAndrew, McGraw, that stable of young arms to me seemed like we could have done it a little bit more.
What happened in 70?
It was the hardest baseball I ever played. I think because of the improbability of 69 and the sort of fairy tale march we had to the World Series and a win. To defend it, to come out where everybody knows who you are and you are the target, we didn't realize how baseball could be that tough. And you're trying to make magic happen rather than let it happen.
Right.
And, you know, that sounds nuanced, but there's a difference. And it was big.
You press. Here is some other guy making a great catch. His name is Tommy Agee. And this is cut 34, two great catches, one October 14th in 69. Agee also had homers and two game-saving defensive plays. Cut 34.
There's a drive in the deep left center. Racing hard is Agee. What a drive! Tommy Agee! Raised two runs!
Tommy Agee going all the way to the track. Look at the backhand stab of the glove. And now he'll have to break himself with the bare hand on the wall. A lot of white showing. Look at that ball. And it is a fly ball. It'll be tough to get to. Agee is going, and Agee takes it down.
This man has possibly saved five runs in this game. Once against Hendricks with two on and two out. This time with the bases loaded and two out.
So he has a homer and two game-saving catches. The Mets win 5-0 over the Orioles in Game 3. Hear that crowd? Can you feel that again, Ron Swoboda?
You know what, Shea Stadium, you know, we go to Citi Field, and there's architecture, and a lot of people say it's like this amazing food court where occasionally a baseball game breaks out. the architecture of Shea Stadium was the fans, and it stood three tiers tall. And, you know, it was a tough read because the ball rarely came out of the crowd. You're looking at a background of people yeah. moving around. It's fluid and difficult, and you had to learn how to handle that. AG makes two. He went from left center to right center to catch the second one. He went from right center to left center to catch the first one, and that thing almost came through his webbing in his glove. It's dazzling. And five runs, yeah, he saved five runs in a game when that was the difference.
Well, absolutely, and this is the final. This is how the final out sounded. Cut 36.
Well, it's up to Dave Johnson now to save the Orioles. He's got one hit in three times. The 2-1 pitch. There's a fly ball hit out to left. Waiting is Jones. The Mets are the world champions. Gary Koopman being mobbed. Look at this scene.
Davey Johnson, the future manager of the Mets
yes.
and Orioles, he goes on to make the final out. The Mets win. So then the was that at Shea?
That was at Shea.
So
everything we did
the,
was at Shea.
Did they
year.
Jump on the field?
People came on the field, and it was wild. And I mean, eyes as big as saucers. And I grabbed my hat in my right hand, and I had my glove in my left hand. And you just squeezed them hard and just kind of banged through the crowd to get in the clubhouse because it was insanity. I mean, benign, yeah, some of it, but people were fired
right.
up.
And, Ron, I remember you playing on the Yankees. I remember you as a sportscaster, and I know you're doing some sportscasting now.
Yep.
So you ended up having this career which was full of a lot of great highlights. Are you satisfied with it? And is this the pinnacle?
I'll tell you what. I'm an average guy, and the thing, the message from my book and what I tried to express from my core is even an average player, if you work at it, you can have great moments, okay? Not as many as Willie Mays, not as many as the great superstars, but if you battle with it, you can be a part of something great. Most of the people on a championship team are just guys, just average guys. You got the Seavers and Kuzmans you need to have, AG and you know, Jones and Clendenin, the piece de resistance. Those are impact players in a way that us average guys can only dream about. But we can have our moments in baseball. And in my slice of that World Series turned out pretty good.
Yeah, and by the way, there's a lot of crazy things that happened then, one of which was this black cat story. Here's Ferguson Jenkins, the legendary pitcher, talking about it.
We're playing the New York Mets. And I won't name the individual, but he's on a pitching staff with the 69 Mets. Thought it'd be apropos to have a little stunt done. And behind home plate is where the doors are. Billy Williams is the leadoff hitter in the sixth inning. Ron Santo's the second hitter. Billy's at the plate. These doors open. Somebody throws a cat out. Instead of the cat going down the first baseline, it heads down the third baseline, right in front of the Cub dugout. And Ron Santo's in the on-deck circle. And it wasn't a feral cat. It was a kitten. After that cat got through walking in front of our dugout, we stopped scoring runs. And everybody knows the outcome. Who won the league? The New York Mets. Somebody on that pitching staff, I won't name any names, but he is the problem.
Who was it?
He's imagining things.
That's Cubs pitcher.
He's imagining Jenkins. Things. That cat came from out from under the stands. Nobody trained.
No one put it out
Did
there?
They think they trained a cat to stand there and run? That cat was completely freaked out. And there were cats under the stands that ate the rats and mice under there. And there were a whole lot of them
natural
under
selection.
There. But this
yeah.
one just came out on that day.
But,
and, you know, look, from their perspective, if we lose one more game to the Cubs in the season series, we play 500 against them. But the things that happened to them, a call here that went against them, a play at home plate, a catch they don't make in the outfield, a base hit that Ed Cranepool gets in the ninth. There were little things that season series broke on, and they had to feel like somebody up there was on our side.
Ron, I got to go again. Ron's book, it's called Here's the Catch. Ron Swoboda, and finally, as we leave, 69, what a year. 20 seconds left. Joe Willie Namath wins the Super Bowl, yep. The New York Jets. There's the moon launch. We land on the moon. And then you have
Woodstock.
Woodstock on top of that.
And don't forget, there was money in
the
that
Knicks
system.
Win the championship, too?
Well, the Vietnam War and anti-war, identity politics, the Stonewall Inn riots, yeah. You know.
We just love the 69 Mets, even if you're not a New Yorker.
Everything could happen.
Yeah. And we did. And they started the 60s as a laughing stock, but lovable. They ended as world champions. Ron Swoboda, thanks so much.
So much. Thank you, Brian.
Great to see you. And all your success.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530. That's 1-800-467-7530.
SSD Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SSD Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.